This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Initiate procedure.
Okay, the MJ Radio Network. We are go.
Now, stand by for the MJ Morning Show.
Got the MJ Morning Show, MJ and the crew at 6 o'clock exactly. Good news! Half of the kids squad is home for the MJ family. Julian got back on Friday. My 16-year-old son, he goes to boarding school in Connecticut, and you know the CDC guidance: don't travel. I don't know what they're closing the school until mid-January. Hey, Julie, just defend for yourself up there. Just, you know, you got to leave the campus. Can't live in the dorm room. You know, here's $50. You know, just do some drifting or something. And then, of course, Chloe's college up in New Hampshire. They closed down until the end of January. Again, you know, where'd she go?
That's really smart of the schools not to have the students come back after a Thanksgiving break.
Most colleges and universities are doing that in the sense that the break between Thanksgiving and Christmas, what is it? It's like 3+ weeks or so. You know, rather than having everyone come back to campus because of COVID, you know, typically they would go back for the short period and then leave for Christmas vacation, but it just makes a hell of a lot more sense just to keep the students off of campus, and you know, just reduces the possibilities of an outbreak, especially with so many people going home for Thanksgiving then going back to campus. It just allows for more time, and I thought it was a smart move as well.
How was his flight?
Hey, Fro, you here today or what?
I'm just waiting for a second to squeeze in an edgewise word.
Squeeze it edgewise.
You know, it's tough with you two. And they got Roxanne's not even here.
Yeah, Roxanne is taking the week off. Hey, did Roxanne have this week scheduled off before we even got here? Was that the story?
I don't know. Who knows?
Anyway, Roxanne is off today. So
she's off all week.
off all week. Yeah, absolutely.
Do we work all week? No.
We're going to work today, tomorrow, and Wednesday.
And Friday?
And then Friday, we're going to roll out on Black Friday a best of the MJ Morning Show. We got enough crap to jam in here for a best of already.
Well, I'm excited. I know what I'm doing Friday morning. Not listening to this. Sleeping in. Just kidding. I'll be listening.
I don't mind if you sleep in. I don't know if I'm going to be up at the crack of 6 listening to, you know, some of our best of material. Just getting rolling. And then Chloe comes in today. My college-bound girl, my little freshman Chloe. She gets in later today.
Oh, I thought she came in over the weekend. Okay.
No.
Julian, so everybody's coming today.
Julian came in on early Friday evening, and then Chloe comes back today. All right, just getting rolling. It's a busy, busy day. Don't move. We're going to whip out a crotchety classic. Fester, this is a Fester request, right?
Well, it's only appropriate.
I think you'd be right. And what crotchety call would be a classic must for this time of the year? I guess you'll have to wait and find out.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
6:14. Fester's already Bryant mural locally.
Here?
Yeah, it is, really.
Did he have anything to do with here? Tampa? No?
I don't believe so. It just was...
Nice thing to do, I guess.
So Kobe died last January, right?
Yeah.
The helicopter crashed. Man, we're coming up on a year.
That's crazy.
It really is. Yeah, so Jorge Roldan... 24, painted an 80-foot-tall mural on a basketball court in, I guess it's at Seminole Elementary School. In over 300 hours went into the design and the painting of the mural. It's 100 feet wide across the court, and it's what? It's 80
feet. Oh, so they're playing on it.
Yeah, I guess it's 80 feet long.
Yeah. Like the basketball court is the canvas.
Right. So it's
how
not
distracting for the players.
Why is that?
I mean, you know, where's the 3-point line?
Oh, my God. I'm firing a shot from Kobe's eyeball.
Okay, I got to take a shot.
What if you're standing right in his nostril?
I know, right? I mean, is the free throw line like his mustache? Did he have a mustache?
Yeah, remember. This was on Channel 8's website. Painting a mural of Kobe on a basketball court was a bucket list item for me. I idolized him as a player and was really excited to try my hand at a piece this large. Yeah, it's been a learning experience. So much fun, said the artist. This Jorge Roldan. Is it Roldan or Roldan, do you think? Probably Roldan. Jorge Roldan.
So how long is that staying? Forever?
Well, it's painted on the court until the kids wear it up, I guess.
Yeah, it's not going to, like, rain and wash it away. I don't think he did it in chalk or watercolor. I'm thinking it's going to be there for a while.
You ever go to those chalk festivals where they line the street with really creative drawings and then it rains? And they're all just there pissed.
Yeah. I can't remember my last chalk festival.
I went to one. They were awesome.
You went to a chalk festival? All right. So, Fester, when are you packing up and leaving?
You know, maybe after the holiday weekend once some travel slows down a little bit.
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, Fester already turned in his notice. We've only been back since October 5th, and Fester is already leaving the program. Fester, I guess, had to take the deal.
It's a pretty sweet offer.
$10,000 and a mountain bike.
Oh, my God. How can I get that deal?
The things I would do for $10,000 and a mountain bike.
Fester was lured away by $10,000 and a mountain bike. And you're going to the home of Walmart? Is that it?
It's in the greater Bentonville area, not Bentonville proper.
All right, Fester's not leaving. I'm joking. Fester's not leaving. But they're desperate for population. They're desperate for qualified individuals that in Northwest Arkansas Council is trying to lure people to the Bentonville, Arkansas area, which happens to be the home of Walmart. If you see those Walmart trucks, look at the door. It says, like, Bentonville, Arkansas on the side there. And there is this nonprofit community organization, the Northwest Arkansas Council. They need more people, potential workers, people that are qualified. It's pretty funny. The story says, if you're a lobster fisherman from Maine, you're probably not going to qualify.
Don't come.
You've got to have a skill that, that they want. But they're going to give you $10,000, and they're going to give you a, well, the bike thing. Did you read the fine print on the bike?
Well, was it one of those bikes that don't have a heavy weight limit?
No
seat.
you might have to buy, like, a really cheap bike from the bike department at Walmart because they don't give you much. Hold on to that thought.
Oh, you have to get a beach cruiser from Walmart.
This is really interesting. And they've got thousands and thousands of applicants. Hold on to that thought. I got to grab traffic here. We'll finish this up next here on the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
It's the MJ Morning Show at 6:28 Monday here, and yeah, we're not going to laze out this week. We're going to work. We're doing a brand new MJ Morning Show today, tomorrow, even Wednesday. Now Thursday morning, yeah, we'll and Black Friday we'll roll out a best of. And surprisingly, there's some pretty good material already to crank on Thursday. All right, just finishing up here with the Arkansas move. Obviously, I was being facetious and joking around. Fester hasn't turned in his notice. He's not moving to Arkansas. But you're kind of a story. Well, a lot of people are because they've got thousands of entries so far. So if you're tired of the Tampa Bay area, if you want to pick up and leave and you want 10 grand in a bike, well, the whole bike thing is sort of a, well, a little bit of a misnomer. They give you a $600 credit to spend it at a local bike store. These days, what kind of bike are you going to get for $600? I don't
probably
think
it's a pretty decent one. Pretty nice one, right?
$600? That's a lot.
No, dude. What
for
you,
a bike?
Dude, bikes are like a couple of grand for something nice. I know bike guys that spend like $6,000-$8,000 on a bike. Now I realize those are like carbon fiber road bikes, but I don't know if you can get a decent bike for $600 these days.
Are you nuts?
I think you can get a decent one for $600.
Well, the fact is that it is Bentonville, Arkansas. It is the home of Walmart, and you know I've never really looked at the prices at the Walmart bike department, but I've seen the little kids' Huffy bikes with the training wheels.
Yeah,
I've seen those hanging on the rack.
Yeah, those are like, what, $35?
I don't think they're $35.
I bought Kim a crappy Walmart bike like 10 years ago. It was like $200. She's never ridden it.
I got to be honest. I don't know what bikes cost at Walmart, but this is not a credit for Walmart. So if you're just tuning in, you're just joining us. Now, Fester is enamored by the story. Northwest Arkansas happens to be the Bentonville area. They're trying to pack the place with more residents. So they're trying to lure people to the area by offering them a free bike and then $10,000.
That's a beautiful area. I mean, Northwest Arkansas seems lovely. A lot of country, a lot of fun things to do.
Yeah, it is the corporate home of Walmart. And they, listen to this, they built 160 miles of paved greenways and bike trails and all kinds of stuff. 320 miles of single track? Does that mean single track bike trails?
Really relying on bicycle enthusiasts for this.
Biking's a big deal.
I think so.
Gosh.
So if you're interested, there's an application online. If you want to ditch everything, get the bike or the $600 credit for a bike, and then 10 grand. We're proud of the cycling infrastructure we built here. So I guess they're really trying to grab bicyclists, but they also need people that have skills. Like I said before, if you're like a Maine lobster fisherman, don't apply because they probably won't grant you the deal here. Let's see. Got to have a full-time. So here's the criteria. You have to have already. So you can't just say, hey, I want to move there and I'm just going to kind of look around. No, you got to have a full-time job or a remote job or skills that are needed in the local community, such as tech talent, budding entrepreneur, well, I guess anyone could say, hey, I'm a budding entrepreneur.
Yeah, I'm opening up a CVB shop or something.
That's what I am, a budding entrepreneur. But the free bike, it's a $600 credit at a local bike shop. But you're not going to be able to get a really, you know, super duper bike for $600.
Well, take some of your 10 grand and get it.
Well, that's true. Well, you can certainly put the 10 grand toward it.
I mean, if it's so important to have a good bike there.
They already have more than 10,000 applications from every state in the country.
You know, what's amazing is in this time of coronavirus, people are looking to move where they can work remotely.
Get the hell out of New York City.
Sure.
I'm going from the Lower East Side to... I'm going from the West Village to Bentonville, Arkansas.
What an insult to the people who already live there. We have to pay people to move next to you.
Helped you out terrible.
And as far as the 10 grand, after 6 months, so you have to agree to move to Northwest Arkansas within 6 months of being chosen. Afterward, you have to provide proof of a lease or a mortgage. And then the 10 grand will be paid out over installments over the next year. So how about that?
What a pain.
That's just about enough to get me to move to Arkansas.
And then, Fetcher, I asked you about the manatee guy. And the update is, I guess the federal judge doled out the sentence. Are you, Froggy, now you're a fisherman. You've got a little flats boat, right?
Yes, I do. I am considered a seaman, if you will.
And, Froggy, you spent plenty of time on Tampa Bay.
Yes, sir. And Upper Tampa Bay.
What was the last time you saw a manatee?
I see manatees all the time. All the time, in and out of the canals, in the bay. A beautiful creature. Gentle.
Now, Froggy, I don't want to see you arrested. I don't want to see you end up in federal court.
Never.
Could you please tell me what the rules are? And did you take, like, a boating safety course? Do they talk about...
I've taken numerous captain's classes.
Do they talk about manatees at all?
No. But
hold on. You're telling me that
it's more about how to excuse me. I have hit a manatee one time.
Well, you hit a manatee really?
At night, yes, but it was okay. But I got to tell you, I felt so bad. I almost, I'm not a very emotional person, but I felt so bad.
Did you start crying?
I almost cried.
Really?
I had to stay there and wait to make sure it was okay.
Right, so tell me the number one. Don't do this with manatees.
Don't touch manatees. Yeah, exactly. You just don't touch them. You don't mess with them. Like the woman who was sitting on one a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I mean, you just don't mess with them.
Anyway, this dude, this charter boat captain by the name of David Beede, B-E-E-D-E, he was hauled into federal court because, do you remember this? It was last February, a video surfaced of him, like, touching the manatee's back with a fishing rod. Do you remember that?
Yeah, don't do that.
He spooked the manatee. The manatee obviously was shocked, and then they, like, high-fived afterwards. They celebrated afterwards.
Last week, this guy was at a defense table in Tampa federal court, and this guy faced actual federal prison time for touching the tip of the fishing rod to the back of the manatee, which was captured by an overhead drone video. Wow. According to the Tampa Bay Times, this guy, the proprietor of Shallow Point Fishing Charters, he admitted that back in February, he used a fishing rod to touch a manatee off of Whedon Island. His story was that the manatee had some kind of a worm or a fishing lure stuck on his back, and he's claiming that he was using his fishing rod to try to dislodge what was ever on the back of the manatee. And it was captured on video overhead from a drone, and the video made its way onto the internet, and then all hell broke loose. And then people wanted this guy essentially, like, executed at... Where do they carry out the federal executions? You were there before, Fester.
In Terre Haute, Indiana.
Exactly. Remember, Fester was there for Timothy McVeigh's execution.
Burn Timmy.
One of them, yeah. You listen, this guy, he should never have touched a manatee.
Yeah, no.
I don't think he was being abusive toward the manatee either.
Remember a couple months ago, we thought there was a manatee dying in my backyard. It just turned out he was horny and, like, had a bunch of manatee sex.
Oh, that's right.
And they don't mess around. Like, the Coast Guard came out. Like, they're like, do not touch the manatee.
Yeah.
No. My neighbors thought it was dead.
Hey, manatees are very, very serious business. Absolutely. So this guy, Beede, this charter boat captain, says, I never imagined that it would come to this, told the Tampa Bay Times. The judge, he's like... It seemed the judge was like, why is this in federal court? So the story says how the judge usually deals with,
big serious cases, right?
Exactly. Some of these criminal cases are drug conspiracy after drug conspiracy. According to I guess with the judge, U.S. District Judge Thomas Barber. And he said that this is a little bit different. So he's doing drug conspiracy federal cases, and here he's got a touching the back of a manatee case in his courtroom. And then even the government acknowledged that Bede's mistake was not particularly terrible. We understand that this was not the most egregious kind of crime, according to the assistant U.S. attorney, Natalie Adams, nor was it committed in the most egregious kind of way. But by touching the manatee, he broke federal law. The prosecutors, they were seeking a 20-year jail term.
Okay.
Seems no, fair. I'm kidding. What do you mean seems fair? I'm kidding. Come on. I was just seeing if you were listening.
Listen, a $5,000 fine seems like too much.
It was a $2,000 fine. Okay. So the federal prosecutor, no jail time, wanted a $2,000 fine. The defense attorney for the boat captain, well-known Tampa criminal defense attorney Norman Canella Sr., the judge questioned whether such an offense should be viewed differently, if not for social media.
Can we not get the manatee to take the stand
anyway,
and get this cleared up?
Here's the deal. The judge ordered this guy, Bede, last week to complete 50 hours of community service. He must provide proof that he was, that he did complete the work by January 12th. And then the judge will decide if any further sanctions are appropriate. So it doesn't even look like he's going to be, if he completes the 50 hours, he might not even have to pay the $2,000 fine.
Listen, man, you should never have touched a manatee. Serve your community service and get it behind you.
What? He is getting screwed.
Yeah, before announcing the sentence, the judge wanted to see the video. He stood and leaned toward the bench as somebody in the court brought it up on a cell phone. 39-second clip was put on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook last February.
I mean, the kid who was like dragging the shark behind his boat. I mean, now that's torture.
Yeah,
and that guy should get federal charges or whatever.
Oh, that was terrible. I remember that.
But, you know, trying to help a manatee with a thing in his back, I don't know.
That was terrible. I remember that.
The kid's an animal.
That was absolutely awful.
A live shark just dragging it behind your boat in the wake?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Anyway, so that's the outcome. The guy's going to do... what about his charter business?
I don't think he's going to be doing...
He says his business has suffered greatly. Yeah. He says he's lost almost $70,000 in revenue this year.
Yeah, here are the details in the Tampa Bay Times story. He says, I'll be honest. A later portion showed Bede apparently trying to snag the drone with a fishing line. Oh, man. So
get rid of the evidence.
Was he trying to, like, cast and get the drone out of the air?
I would have snagged that thing in first cast.
Yeah, since the incident went wild on social media, he said that people have threatened to kill him.
All right, come on.
You touch the back of a manatee, I'm going to cut off your nads. They're threatening to kill the guy. Listen, I don't know if it's reaches. I love manatees. I've got a house on Tampa Bay. My kids grew up. We live on Tampa Bay. We see tons of manatees in the backyard, especially in the colder months. You know, when they come on in to, you know, mate a little.
To warm up.
Yeah, we see them quite a bit. And I don't know if touching a manatee's back with a fishing rod, well, yes, it's illegal. That technically falls under harassment. I don't know if this dude ought to be getting death threats. I'm going to kill you. You touch the manatee. I'm going to murder you.
Yeah, it seems really extreme, but
there's the guy. Get him.
Yeah, he said he lost more than $68,000 in gross business.
My God, he's a pretty successful fishing guy. If that's what he lost.
He had to cancel his health insurance. He's had trouble sleeping.
He's having nightmares of manatees choking him.
My God.
He can come over and pet my back anytime he likes. It's really a lot like a manatee.
And he apologized, said he understood that manatees need special protection, but also said that he says he's never been arrested. He said, I have no reason to go down by the... Listen, it shouldn't wreck his life. You know, it just shows... You know, we protect manatees. Obviously, in this area, we protect manatees, no doubt about it. But, I mean, it's not like he was willfully trying to swim with the manatee or try to feed the manatee. You're not supposed to feed manatees, obviously. Don't make them dependent on humans.
Don't shoot hose. Like, I've seen some people in my neighborhood even shooting hoses in their mouth when they're at the water.
Yeah, because you're on Tampa Bay as well.
Yeah, so you don't shoot water hoses or like your backyard garden hose into their mouth, even though they like it. Because it's fresh water.
Is it like a dog where the dog goes... seriously, my current Jack Russells, they're not as much into it. But one of my old Jack Russells, rest in peace, Scarlett and Romeo. They used to love the nozzle. And they would do the... we spray the water and the dog goes crazy.
Yeah, manatees love fresh hose water.
Yeah, it's a very unfortunate story, but... Again, folks, if you learn one thing, don't touch the manatees. And then you'll stay out of federal court, and you might, avoid a $2,000 fine or maybe some jail time. So hopefully this guy can, listen, it shouldn't wreck his life. He should be able to put his fishing charter business back, back on track. What are you shaking your head at, Fester?
I mean, he's got the anti, like the PETA people now up against them.
Oh,
they had to take it to court. They had to take it to court just to satisfy the PETA people.
Yeah, and I hear you.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105, MJ and the crew, 657, Monday, kind of a short week for most folks. We're going to be here today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. I think we're going to be jamming a whole lot of music on Thursday morning as a lot of folks will sleep in. And then Friday, Black Friday, the best of the MJ Morning Show. We got enough crap for a best of already. It's phenomenal. Look at this.
The best of show is going to be very scrizzle heavy. By the way, I just wanted you to know.
It's going
to
be scrizzle heavy.
If you hear one scrizzle song each hour, that might be appropriate.
I don't think we need one scrizzle song each hour.
Oh, my God, yes, I love that.
All right. Incidentally, little programming note, Monday Night Football. Tonight, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the national spotlight. So in town, the L.A. Rams will say hello to Tom Brady. So hopefully the streak will continue. You know, they had the crap week. Just the Saints week was just a disaster, obviously. Bounced back last. What did he connect to? How many touchdowns last week? Did he have another like...
Like 17?
Yeah, it was like 40-some-odd points.
It was crazy. And then I don't even know what the Rams record is. Do you know?
The Rams, I think, are... 6 wins? They're doing pretty well, too.
All right, so Monday Night Football tonight, Tom Brady and the Bucks. We'll see if they can defeat the L.A. Rams. So, what, about 6,000 people in the stands? Is that it?
I know I'm not going. I'll be on my couch.
What's the number? Is it 6,000?
I thought it was like 12,000.
Yeah, you might be right. Is it 12 or 15,000?
Because remember last time it was like 15 or something like that, and we were like, there's like 6 there. There's no way.
Yeah, that's right. It is. It's like 12 or 15,000. Are they running at about 25%? Is that the deal they're doing in the stands?
Supposedly.
Yeah, so Monday Night Football, good luck to the Bucks tonight. Do you guys have any idea? Do you have any idea what I teased when I said Christmas gift, if you're looking for this, or even if it's not for a Christmas gift, do you know what item is in scarce, short supply these days? Do you have any idea?
Absolutely. Well, two things. One, toilet paper. Two, like the PS3 PlayStation or the PS5?
PS3? What are you in? What are you in 2010?
I still have the PS3.
Hey, what year was the PS3? Do you know?
PS3, I don't know, like 2007 maybe?
All right, so like the
PS3. It's the PS5, dude. I went to Best Buy yesterday because I needed to get a little internet switch, a little 5-port internet switch. To expand some stuff, and they had bicycle fencing outside of the Best Buy. up at, you know, on Dale Mabry and 275. They had the bicycle fencing on. They were like signs. I didn't read. It was some of the PS, the PlayStation 5 and some what's that?
It wasn't my phone this time.
What the hell's that?
That was a customer calling me, sorry.
A customer's calling you in the middle of our show?
Sorry.
He put the damn thing on
7 o'clock in the morning.
I always have it on mute.
Oh, my
God. Except for today.
So they had signage and bicycle fencing. It might have been left over. Because when did they come out? It was like, did they, what?
Well, they're leaving it up because Black Friday is later this week.
Oh, that's right. So they're leaving, they're leaving the bicycle fence. But they were like little notes, little signs, little paper signs on the bicycle fencing about the PlayStation 5. All right. No, it's not. It's not the PlayStation 5 or the 3 Fester, which I think you still have, right?
Yes.
Nat, for all you, what is in short supply? Any idea?
Xbox.
What is very, well, that's...
Is it video game related?
It's not. Why would you guys think, I didn't give you any clue.
Is this the holidays and there's two big items? I mean, how about a workout item?
I didn't give you any clue.
How about a clue then, dude?
I didn't give you any clue that it's PS5 or Xbox related. No.
I'll take a clue.
All right.
I'll clue anything.
The board game clue.
It is not the board game clue.
What is it?
All right. What is in short supply, people are having a tough time finding these.
The decoration you told us about.
What?
Oh, no. That was Halloween, the 12-foot skeleton. Wait,
no. That's
over.
Is there a 12-foot Santa Claus?
No. No. All right. I'll give you a hint. The Queen's Gambit on Netflix.
Oh, of course. Chessboards.
Chess sets.
Oh.
Seriously. Chess sets are apparently impossible to find right now. That they're flying off the shelf, and there was pressure on board games with COVID-19. So with so many people at home and, you know, not going about their normal daily lives, apparently board games kind of shot through the roof. But then the Queen's Gambit hit Netflix. Was it October? If I had one person tell me we got to watch this series, I've had 100.
I'm tired of hearing about it.
It's on my list.
We finished it this weekend.
Oh, you did?
Yes, 7 episodes. A quick watch.
Is it a one and done, or is it going to continue? Are there going to be multiple seasons?
The story comes to its natural conclusion. So I don't know what the future holds for it.
Why are seasons so short now? 6 episodes. It's a little effort.
So you guys finished it.
Yeah, well, it's an hour an episode. We watched, one a night for a week and a half.
And incidentally, Fester is one of the 3,000 friends and acquaintances that said, oh, you gotta watch Queen's Gambit. Gotta watch it. Fester came, was it last 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago?
I think last Monday I came in because we started it last weekend.
And then Fester's like, oh my God, MJ, you got to watch The Queen's Gambit.
I was only 2 episodes in then.
What is a gambit exactly?
The Queen's Gambit is a strategic chess position.
Oh God, sounds boring.
Well, guess what? Strategically, people are trying to buy chess sets now for gifts. It's spurred this whole interest in chess. Look what Netflix can do with a 7-episode series.
It's insane how people just, they think they hear it's great, and then they latch on and they watch it.
It's legitimately great.
I'm sure it's not that great, Fester.
It's pretty great.
Hey, folks.
It's a show about chess.
Okay, yes. It's a show with an insanely hot redhead in it.
Okay, I'm in.
Yeah, okay. I mean, let's get that straight. She gets more and more attractive every second she's on the screen.
Who is the redhead? What part does she play? I don't need to know the actress's name.
She's the main character.
The kid?
Well, grows up.
Hang on a second. How old is this redhead that you're like drooling over?
Okay, it starts when she's like 9.
What's the matter with you? What the hell is the matter with you?
That's not drooling.
You're gross. No. Get me Grady Judd on the phone.
No.
Right, she grows up.
Then when she becomes like,
where's Sheriff Judd?
When she becomes like 20.
Did you bring that Michael's Hard Lemonade for a reason, sir?
When she becomes 20,
right?
Like the bulk of the episodes, the 5 episodes where she's an adult, she's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about you just have a seat right here?
All right, so you're looking at the hot 20-year-old redhead, right? Yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just about a kid the whole time.
Try to find a chess set now, folks. As tough as finding toilet paper.
You know what? When this whole pandemic started, I was at a store and I saw all the board games gone. The only one they had left were chess boards. And I'm like, ugh, who wants to play chess?
Guess what? And then the Queen's Gambit hits Netflix and now try to find a chess set. I guess there's the Cardinal Chess. Is that the...
Is it a maker?
Yeah, Cardinal, I guess, is one of the largest chess set makers. And they said that sales are up 178% in October. October sales for chess from this board game company, Cardinal, up 100%. Oh, no, this is Goliath Games. Okay, so what's Cardinal then? I know nothing about it. See, I don't play chess. Now, both my kids play a little chess. I think they know how to play, but I never got into chess. I have a lot of respect for it, and
it's difficult, right? All I know about chess is Bobby Fischer.
So Goliath Games, our October sales for chess were up 178% over the same period last year.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, wait a sec. October sales were up 100. Oh my God, this is nuts. October sales up 178%. That's a huge increase, they said. But something unexpected happened at the end of the month. So end of October, chess set sales were up 1,048%.
Oh, my.
So that's probably why you can't find the damn chess set anywhere.
Sorry, you have to buy Chinese checkers. Or a mousetrap.
I purchased the commemorative Civil War chess set.
From the Franklin Mint.
Yes, with Ulysses Grant.
Oh, my God. So, good luck trying to find a chess set and toilet paper this holiday season.
Wow.
It's just insane. Hey, we got an update on the Lyft passenger. Remember that we played the audio last week? The Lyft passenger that went nuts on the Lyft driver? The driver asked the husband and wife in the back of the Lyft to please put your masks on, and the guy flips out and starts calling him all kinds of racial epithets. We have an update. The guy is speaking out. The guy, and we've got the, if you didn't hear this audio, folks, we played this last week. This is insane. And we'll get to it next on the MJ Morning Show. Hang on.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
It's the MJ Morning Show. MJ and the crew, Froggy and Fester here. Roxanne is taking a little time off this week. I think she had this week planned to take a little break even before we brought the MJ Morning Show back.
Yeah, I think the first day of the show, she's like, I'm not going to be here Thanksgiving week. I told
her, let's shut her down then.
Well, you know, we can't afford to be taking days off around here, guys. New show.
Roxanne, enjoy a little time off. I'm sure we'll come up with a reason to probably bug her a little bit later on.
Maybe. Why not?
Call her up, wake her up.
Just wake her up every day.
Every day.
6 a.m., yeah,
6 a.m., hey. Listen. Want to say hi as we launch the show. Hey, update on the Lyft driver. And, man, this is such a lesson. But it also raises a bunch of questions. If you're unaware of the story, we played the audio last week, and it's horrific. This audio is just, this is cringeworthy times 10. This is out of Washington State, Issaquah, Washington. And Joe and his wife were in the back of a Lyft. Now, we don't know their last names. All we know is Joe.
We will.
I'm sure at some point it's going to come out. But Joe was in the back of a Lyft, and there's a big update to the story. That's why we're going to play the audio again. We're telling the story. So Joe and his wife were in the back of a Lyft. They took their masks off during the ride. The Lyft driver recognized this. I guess he's looking in the rearview mirror and asked them to please put their masks back on during this pandemic. The Lyft driver's name is David Kangogo. Then I think it's pretty funny, right? You can go in a Lyft. Yes, the guy's name is Kangogo. 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 Is any other way to pronounce that? So the driver says to the passengers, "Hey, can you put your masks on, please?" And then this guy Joe just launches into this.
That's what you are. Sam, you. Yeah.
Tell me I'm saying that. Continue saying that.
What's a sam? Do you know what a sam is?
Joe?
Do you know what a sam is? Because I do.
Joe, stop. I'm videoing. Stop. Stop. I'm videoing. You stop.
That's the wife.
I got your license plate. You should never drive Lyft again.
No, you will never. You will never drive. Yeah. You will never drive.
Are you happy now?
No.
By calling people.
No, we expected a Lyft drive home. That's what we expected.
1 mile just from my house. Hey, hold on.
Gosh.
Hold on. You're a stupid idiot.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You feel good?
You
feel good now?
Do you feel good?
Do you feel good? Here, hold on. I'll feel better when I piss in here. You piss in your car.
Go ahead, do it.
Hold on, I'm going to piss in your car.
Do it.
Do you feel better?
Yeah, I'm not.
Opens the door.
Do you feel good?
As you're recording, record him saying too, okay?
Do you feel good?
His name is Joe. Thank you so much.
Have a good night.
Have a good night. 10:01.
Is that unbelievable? The guy's threatening to urinate in the back of the guy's car. First of all, why is the wife videotaping? Why is the wife recording on her phone?
That is the biggest question I have. What are you doing? Your husband's...
I'm recording.
I'm videoing.
Hold on.
I'm rolling video.
You want to get video of your husband calling this guy the N-word? But he put sand in front of it. And, of course, that's another horrific slur. Of course, the N-word in any capacity is unacceptable. I don't care who uses it. The N-word is absolutely unacceptable. And then he, I guess, assumed that the driver was of Middle Eastern descent. Or maybe he thought that geographically due to his ethnicity and called him repeatedly a sand N-word.
So what's the update on this?
Oh, my God. I mean, first of all, how many times did he say it? Well, the guy's claiming now. Here's the update. The update is the guy claims that he was drunk.
No.
Oh, okay. And he apologizes. But listen, even if I were drunk and falling down, I would never, I mean, me personally, I would never go into the area of just screaming racial epithets at somebody.
This guy's obviously a drunk and gets angry when he's drunk.
Well, and that's something else we can talk about is happy drunks versus angry drunks, and people that consume alcohol or too much, it triggers whatever it triggers in the brain, and some people are happy drunks, and some people just get nasty when they're drunk.
Hey, I'm a happy drunk. I'll just sit and chill and talk and smoke cigars. This guy,
I'm just going to whiz in your car. Forget it.
Anyway, this guy says that he's sorry. He apologizes. Both he and his wife, listen to this, both he and his wife lost their jobs. So, you know, I mean, you talk about, well, we knew this last week. We knew that he lost his job, but now we find out that the wife lost his job. Wait a minute, it gets better. They were also evicted from the home they're renting.
Oh, man.
So the landlord evicted. They lost their jobs, and now they've been evicted as well.
I don't think recording me was a good idea, babe.
He said, both of us lost the best jobs we've ever had, and we're being evicted from the house we rent. He says, there really is no context to the incident. My behavior in the video was despicable. You know, at least he's, like, owning up to it. I got to give the guy, while his words were just a horror show, the fact that he's owning up to it, yeah, you know, I think that's at least a manly thing to do, saying that what I did was absolutely despicable.
That's a pretty solid apology.
Said he was drunk, he's extremely sorry, and again, it all started because the driver in Lyft said, hey, can you please put on your mask, and the guy just goes into a tirade calling him a sand N-word over and over, and then threatening, what, 2-3 times threatening to urinate his car?
And then the guy's so accommodating, the driver, he's like, do it. Go ahead.
I humbly apologize for my behavior toward David K., the Lyft driver, he told the New York Post. I should have never said the things that I said nor acted like a complete idiot. He didn't deserve that. No one does. I had too much to drink, lost control of my tongue, and I said horrible things.
All right.
Watching the video was hard for me. It was, if I didn't recognize the person, it was as if I didn't recognize the person. I let myself down. I let my friends and family down. I let my company down. I let our whole country down. My God, this guy's falling on the sword, as he should.
Listen, I think this guy's had to go through this apology speech a couple times. It seems like he's done it a few times.
I think he's a little prepared here.
I think so. I mean, I think he'd get drunk and then apologizes a lot.
He says, I ask for forgiveness and mercy from literally everyone, especially David, the Lyft driver, and the Lyft community, my family, friends, and our local community. Is that amazing? Is that unbelievable?
What did he do for a living? Does it say?
It doesn't say. So I don't know what he did, but it just, it's a lesson about consequences. Here, this guy's in the back of a Lyft, curses out the driver. The video goes viral. And both he and his wife have lost their jobs now. They're homeless. They're being evicted from their rental home. So it just shows that you've got consequences. I just can't imagine just going on that kind of a rip.
No, no.
If the guy's looking for work, he might be able to pick up some extra money as a Lyft driver. Maybe work for Uber.
I think he's banned from Lyft for life is what I'm guessing. Just a crazy story. Hey, next, we're going to whip out a classic crotchety. This is a Fester request because of Thanksgiving coming up this week. A classic crotchety old man call. Is this going to be, I've played one crotchety so far, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, so this will be, ladies and gentlemen, a classic crotchety coming up in just a matter of moments. Stand by.
This is the MJ Morning Show Podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show Podcast.
If you're waiting for Roxanne to speak this morning, it's not going to happen. Yeah, Roxanne's got the week off, well-deserved. I mean, she got thrown into the fire with us, so she needs to recoup a little bit. Nah, she's fine. She's taking some time off for some family activities this week. So we'll check. We might even check in with her later on.
You know how days off are with jobs. If you don't use it, you lose it. So.
Hey, classic crotchety old man call coming up. In fact, this was a Fester request last night. Fester emails me and says, hey, got a great crotchety old man call idea. You ought to go back to the archives and whip this one out. So, yeah, it's very fitting for Thanksgiving. We'll get to that here momentarily. I got to say hello to Robin and Randy. Guess where I was where I ran into Robin and Randy yesterday?
I can't even imagine. I don't know who they are.
I was shopping.
Oh, good.
Publix.
Oh, okay. I was going to guess like a swingers club or something.
So Michelle ordered the Walmart online. You know, you can do either the car pickup or go into the store and they have your order ready. So I had to go pick up something from Michelle. And of course, I've been relegated to all of the shopping. Michelle just hands me the list. She doesn't shop anymore. Doesn't want them. So I did all the Thanksgiving shopping. I finished that up yesterday. So Michelle had some item for me to pick up at Walmart in South Tampa, right? And then in my neighborhood yesterday, a bunch of neighbors, they've been doing it, I think, for 5 years now. A bunch of neighbors in the neighborhood have been doing a food drive and a money drive for Metropolitan Ministries. And you might have heard that Metropolitan Ministries this year, a rough time with COVID-19, the number of families, the economics that are going on, and the number of families that need assistance. You know, things we take for granted, just normal food items. And this year has been very pressing for Metropolitan Ministries locally, and of course they've done just incredible work for decades and decades here in the Tampa Bay area. And my neighbors were doing the food drive, so I'm like, hey guys, I'm heading on down to Walmart. I'm going to load up the back of the SUV and bring a whole bunch of food back. So I went to a Walmart and I just started taking cases off the shelf, and I filled up the back of the SUV with all kinds of canned vegetables, and I got a case of peanut butter, a bunch of breakfast cereal, and dropped it off. So while I'm in line, now you're going to find out, Froggy, you're going to find out who Randy and Robin are.
Oh, okay.
I'm in line. You know when the shopping cart gets so damn heavy that it's you can't maneuver it?
Can't turn it.
Right, yeah, it's hard to push.
All right, so I ran over Robin, knocked her to the ground.
Whoa.
No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. No, but seriously, the shopping cart was so... Coop, you're laughing?
You're hitting people?
Yeah, our producer, Coop, you find that funny?
I just catch little things, just random things, and all I hear is you run someone over, and I'm like, wait a second, what are they talking about?
No, I did run her over.
You should probably be paying attention, Coop.
No, but seriously, I'm not joking around. The shopping cart, I had so much canned food in the shopping cart that it gets so heavy that it's tough to maneuver the thing. I think I took out a rack, took out some items on an end cap at Walmart in South Tampa. So I make it to the checkout aisle, and I had so much junk, there's no way I'm doing the self-checkout. That would be just a miserable pain in the... Because I had cases, so they need to take, like, the canned corn, the canned mixed vegetables, and it's just much easier to go to the regular checkout line and let them do the 12 times the price. So I went to the regular... So I'm in line, waiting for the person in front of me to finish up. I'm in line, and then a couple gets behind me, and all I hear is... Hey, MJ, we're so glad that the MJ Morning Show is back. I'm like, what? So they recognize me with a full mask over my face. They recognize me with my curly hair sticking out from underneath my baseball hat. And I turn around, and I had the pleasure of meeting Robin and Randy right behind me in the Walmart line on Gandy in South Tampa.
Lovely.
And they're a lovely couple. And I'm like, hey, can I take a picture so I can, give you a little shout-out on social media? And she said, okay. She was,
you took a picture of them?
That's only a little creepy.
So why is it creepy?
Hey, can I take a picture of you?
I want to tell the story about meeting you guys.
Hey, usually the person you meet doesn't want to take a picture with you. You know, it's kind of awkward.
Hey, MJ, nice to see you. Hey, can I take a picture?
Because I said, hey, it's great to have you guys say hi, and you guys recognize me even during COVID-19. I got my mask on. I'm in the Walmart line.
Where's the picture? I want to see how Robin looks.
I've got the picture. I got to post it. I'll post it in a few minutes.
Tell me a little more about Robin. Yeah. What does she have going on?
No, Robin and Randy, they were shopping at Walmart like me.
I don't want to hear Rob. I don't want to hear about Randy.
Robin,
lovely couple.
Robin was a sweetheart. So Robin and Randy, a lovely couple. And why is it creepy to post the picture? They said hi to me at Walmart. I said, hey, guys, they're obviously thrilled that the MJ Morning Show is back. So I snapped the photo, and I said, hey, I'm going to share it on Twitter and Instagram, and I'll do it in a little bit.
So how many cans did you get for your friend's food drive?
I don't know. I got, like, cases and cases.
That's
awesome, I loaded up the... look, I don't want any recognition for that, but what I want, the reason why I'm telling the story is, folks, Metropolitan Ministries needs help. Mm-hmm. They really do. Just go online. You can make a cash donation. If you don't want to drop food off, you can make an emergency cash donation, because they have a Thanksgiving emergency fund right now. And if you go to their website, it says, we are in the midst of the largest holiday assistance program in our 48-year history. Your support will provide essential food for those who are hungry and at risk of homelessness in these trying days. Your gift is matched by another donor up to $100,000. So that's amazing. So go to metromin.org. It's M-E-T-R-O-M-I-N. metromin.org. And either donate food or donate money. You can do that online right now. That's why I'm telling the story, right? Not because I gave some canned food to the collection drive in my neighborhood.
Did you see the story about Tyler Perry in Atlanta?
I did. He, feeding like 1,000 people?
5,000 families?
Wow.
Or something like that. It was incredible.
It is incredible. Are you ready for the classic crotchety?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, a classic crotchety. Fester requested this for Thanksgiving. Milton Fludge Cow, oh, thank God you've answered, with a little butterball turkey problem.
Hi, thanks for calling the Butterball Hotline. Can I help you?
Oh, thank God you've answered. Who is this?
Carol.
Carol, I've got turkey trouble. Do I have to have a butterball turkey for you to answer my questions?
No, sir, you don't have to have a butterball turkey for me to answer your question.
Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, maybe you can help me out here. Last year, I didn't have enough turkey because me, my wife, and my three kids, especially Chauncey, he's 12 years old, already weighs 400 pounds. He eats like a horse. So this year, I had to get a huge turkey. I got a 76-pounder.
Oh, my God. Where did you get a turkey that big?
I'm not going to even go into how I found that, but I need to start cooking it now so it's all ready for Thanksgiving Day, which is tomorrow. So I've got the turkey on the jumbo tray over here, and...
Sir, what happened?
I just dropped the damn turkey on the floor. Hold on a sec. Hold on.
Are you okay?
Yeah, hold on a sec. I'm picking up the turkey. Hang on a minute. I'm putting it back on the countertop. Jeez. Woo. Okay, I've got it. There's a little bit of dust and sand all over it, but it looks like spices, so I'm just going to leave it. Okay, I've got the oven. I had to rent a special industrial-strength blast furnace to cook this thing.
Oh, my God.
Now, I've got it. I've got the furnace up to 900 degrees.
Sir, that is way too high. That is too high, sir.
Hang on. I'm putting the turkey in the oven. Hold on a minute. Okay, turkey is going in. Turkey is going in the... Oh, it's hot as hell in there. Bob, I got a fire.
Sir, put the fire out.
Turkey's on fire.
Put the fire out.
Turkey is on fire. Turkey's on fire. Oh, geez, smoke detector. Turkey's on fire. Smoke detector.
Sir, put the fire out.
I can't put the fire out. I gotta go. Goodbye.
And there it is. By request, our long-distance dedication for Fester. You happy you got your little Thanksgiving crotchety old man fix?
Yeah, I am. Well, I like that.
I have not heard that thing in, I don't know, 15 years. I pulled it up. I dug out my nothing but crotchety disc last night. So right off the CD. MJ Morning Show back in a second. Q105.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
So wait a minute. This was last night?
Yes.
That is insane. Fester is telling us a story during this fabulous Elton John song. MJ Morning Show, Q105, 743. So, Fester, you stopped by Domino's to pick up a couple of pizzas last night.
One pizza. The kids wanted Domino's pizza, so I got them one.
All right, so Fester stops by Domino's to... Did you order ahead, or you just...
I call in and carry out.
Gotcha. All right. So Fester, and this is what, up in Carrollwood area, or what?
Yeah, North Florida Avenue, yeah.
So...
You know they deliver, right?
Yeah,
they charge like $3 or something. Okay. Domino's,
they have the technology. So while Fester, listen to the story. While Fester is picking up a pizza for his kids, for Hadley and Hudson, you witnessed an incident at the Domino's.
I'm there. They have the little red couch. I go in. I sit down. I give him my name. They say, "Sir, it'll be another couple of minutes."
Right.
And a woman walks in,
right?
Pissed, just fuming mad. She ordered $140 worth of pizza, and they delivered it to the wrong apartment.
Oh my God, $140. What is she? Is she having a huge party during COVID times?
It was like 15 pies.
For what?
Was she like, "I need my pizza"? She's like 500 pounds.
They delivered it to the wrong apartment. The right apartment complex.
This is crazy.
But the wrong apartment.
So the Domino's driver is delivering a humongous stack of pizzas, goes to the complex, and knocks on the wrong door, and apparently whoever answered the door took all the pizzas, knowing damn well they didn't order like 15 pizzas.
Unbelievably, the driver was there. He's like, "Yeah, ma'am, I was just in your apartment complex. I delivered it to 172. And she's like, "I'm in 128 or something. It was a little switch of the numbers.
I wonder if the person who pilfered the pizzas, if they at least tipped the driver.
Somebody comes to the door.
Oh, my God.
You're not expecting pizzas to arrive at your house, right? And they have a ton of food, and all you do is say, "Right here. Yep, bring them on. Bring them on in."
All right. You guys are quick.
Who does that?
I don't know.
Well, I love Domino's. They're showing up with pizzas even when I didn't even order them.
So then the Domino's says, listen, ma'am, we're terribly sorry. We'll expedite your order, but we'll make everything again. It'll be about an hour, hour and a half. This lady hit the roof.
Oh, my.
I felt so bad for her.
You know how many pizzas that was? I mean, you can't just, I'm sure they had a whole bunch of stacked up orders as well.
They were packed last night. I'm just glad I got my one pizza out the door.
God. Obviously, she's having an illegal get-together, a super spreader party. So thank God.
It does. Maybe it's a good thing she didn't get her pizzas.
For real?
Seriously.
Save lives.
How many pies was it?
I think 15 pies.
Oh, my God.
That's a huge party. A
couple of 2 liters.
What is she doing?
I have no idea.
But also, the person who gets a knock at the door and it's an erroneous Domino's delivery. The guy's got a stack of pizzas.
Just one guy.
Okay, right here. Hey, thanks a lot. Who does that? Who says, hey, you give me the pizza? Who doesn't say, I think you have the wrong apartment. You got the wrong unit here. It's not us.
Nope. Come on in right here, sir. Put them on the table. Thank you very much, buddy.
Well, are they going back to the other unit to see what the hell's going on? Or
what are you
going
to say now? Now I'm not going to answer my door.
But who opens the door to a Domino's guy with a gigantic stack of 15 pizzas and you don't say instantly, not here.
I didn't order that, buddy.
I've had people knock on my door in the past. I've had UPS. I've had FedEx in New York. We had a furniture delivery come to the house that wasn't. We've had numerous times they knock on the brownstone, and it wasn't our address. It was like the wrong block. It was like 96th Street instead of 95th or 92nd. And we say, not us. So you're telling me we should have just taken all the goods?
Yeah.
Oh, a new couch? Come on in, right over here.
Right here.
Right over here.
It looks beautiful.
That is unbelievable.
She was so mad. I felt so bad for the lady.
Dude, I want to know what kind of human being takes 15 pizzas from the Domino's guy when he didn't even place the order.
A quick thinker on their feet is what they are.
That is unbelievable.
Very nimble with the mind,
that guy. That's a hell of a story. 7:47, it's the MJ Morning Show. Speaking of stories, two COVID clown mask stories. These are crazy. An arrest. They're looking for the other guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to hear these, folks. Two COVID kook bag mask stories next.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
It's the MJ Morning Show, Q105, and John Jett, 7:56 on a Monday. Short week here for us. We'll do shows today, tomorrow, Wednesday. Froggy, you're gonna just do a music show on Thursday, is that right?
Yeah, I just found that out.
All right.
I guess
right, fantastic.
And play then, a little couple tunes.
Yeah, baby. And then Friday, the best of the MJ Morning Show. I'm thrilled. It's the first best of the MJ Morning Show on Friday morning, Black Friday. I just tweeted out and Instagrammed the picture of Robin and Randy in line behind me at Walmart South Tampa yesterday. As I was in line, I'm all masked up, and they say, "Hey, MJ, we're thrilled the MJ Morning Show is back." And I said, "Hey guys, thanks. Can I take a picture and showcase you guys on my social media?" And she was like, "Does my hair look okay?" I'm like, "Yes, it looks fine." Plus, folks, you can look at Randy and Robin's basket.
That's what I'm doing.
You can see.
Look at their muffins.
I even tweeted out and Instagrammed, "Hey, let's check out the crap in their cart." So I've got a picture of Robin and Randy, just delightful couple.
Oh.
And
fans of Pepperidge Farms, are you? Robin and Randy?
Zoom in on the image and see what they have in their cart. Spy on other people and see what they're buying at Walmart. Hey, Robin and Randy again, thanks. I put it up on my Twitter feed, so if you want to see the picture, folks, go to, on Twitter, I'm at Todd Schniff. That's my real name, of course. MJ is Todd Schniff. Most people know that, right?
Are those brand muffins she has?
They look like they're filled with fiber.
On Twitter, at Todd Schnitt, at TODDSCHNITT. Give me a follow. And then on Instagram, I also put it up on Instagram. On Insta, I'm at Certified Todd Schnitt. So, Certified Todd Schnitt on Insta. So give me a follow in both places. I'll put it up on the, by the way, the other social media for the show on Facebook, MJMorningShow.com. Give us a follow there or a like. And then on Instagram and Twitter, it's at MJMorningShow. Give us a follow in all those places. All right, on to the mask morons, the COVID creeps, the COVID kooks. What are we going to call these things? COVID crazies. It's really amazing. These folks that are freaking out over masks. Hey, I had a story, remember I told the story last week?
Yeah, at the liquor store.
I had the liquor, a couple of things. I was at the liquor store, I was at Lukens, on Kennedy in South Tampa. Went in to grab some Rittenhouse rye for some old fashions, and I got a mask on. All the employees have a mask on. All the customers had a mask on, except for some Delta Bravo dude, some, you know, kind of millennial, hey, dude, and he didn't have a mask on, and he's right next to me at the checkout stand. I'm like, and I said something. I'm like, hey, it would be great if you could wear a mask, you know, protect yourself, protect others. And he's like, yeah, I'll work on that. I mean, that's the attitude the guy gave me. Yeah, I'll work on that.
They're all sneezing in your face, man.
And then I got an email. Remember last week we had an email from a listener who was at, and I'm not going to name the place, but it's pretty well known. Guy was getting some, something at this place in South Tampa, a restaurant takeout. Apparently, guy walks in. I got to remember the email. Guy walks in, and there were two customers inside this small store, small space. Not wearing masks, and he asked the guy, apparently, please put on a mask, or, you know, really ought to be wearing, and then, I guess the same similar attitude, you know, just, you know, kind of scoffing. As the COVID numbers are going beyond the control, nationwide, you saw that the White House has the Tampa Bay area on the watch list. You saw that, right?
Yeah, I saw it.
Hold on, I got that story here somewhere. Hold on a minute. If I can't find it, then I'll find it in a bit.
We're in the White House watch list?
I have a specific story to Tampa here somewhere, and it mentioned the White. Hold on, what do I do with this thing? I'll find it later on. I'll do it in the next segment. But
we're doing that bad.
The Tampa Bay area is on, you know, a serious rise right now, as it is nationwide. I mean, the number of cases. You find it? Yeah, here it is from Channel 10. White House highlights Tampa Bay as top area where COVID-19 is aggressively spreading. There's a story from Channel 10, from Tampa Bay's 10. Story Fester, this is from like 2 days ago.
Yeah, listen.
There are steps to take that will help stop the spread of COVID-19, with many of them laid out in the White House Coronavirus Task Force's weekly update for each state. The report is shared with governors across the country. They can share it with the public if they choose to. Governor Ron DeSantis' office has not shared the report, but it is available. 10 Tampa Bay's Angela Salcido got a copy of the report, which was released on November 15th. And I guess the Tampa Bay area is highlighted in the White House Task Force report on this area. The Tampa Bay area is spiking big time as well. So, you know, here's this listener sent an email last week. He's in this small place, this restaurant takeout deal in South Tampa, and asked the guy to put on a mask. Then there was another guy. What did he say? It was another guy at the cash register without a mask. And the staff or the owners let the customers in the store. And he says to the people, please put on a mask. And they, I guess, scoffed at him. He left. And I'm trying to remember the story, so I don't have the email in front of me. Then he called the store and said that he walked out.
Yeah.
He walked out, and then they said, oh, yeah, we saw that. Why? And he said, because you got a bunch of people in the store, a small space with no masks on. And they said, oh, we can't require masks due to HIPAA regulations. And that's not true at all. That is, HIPAA regulations keeps your health information, your health data, it's a privacy issue. HIPAA has nothing to do with you deciding that customers must wear a mask when they enter your store. There is no problem with that. There's no legal issue with that. There's no problem at all.
I haven't seen many people not wearing masks. I think, you know, people are used to it now. They have the masks with them. You know, it's only the outliers who are causing a scene.
And then we've got two new stories here. out of Eureka, California. That's a weird place. You ever been to Eureka, California?
Sounds magical.
Yeah, Michelle and I, we've done the drive from like the Pacific Northwest all the way down the Pacific Coast Highway. So we've done that a couple of times. And one year we stopped, we overnighted in Eureka. That was just like a kind of a weird kind of Twilight Zone town. It was just strange. So police in Eureka removed a woman from the Eureka Costco after she reportedly caused a disturbance over not wearing a mask. About 1:15 p.m., employees of the store on Wabash Avenue called to report a woman refusing to wear a mask, who then strong-armed a cell phone from an employee. So the employee was, I guess, videoing the incident, and then she strong-arms the cell phone out of the employee's hands. When the woman heard officers were on scene, she returned the cell phone to the owner. She grabbed and kept the cell phone.
Can't do that.
Hope the cops are here. Here's your phone back. Sorry.
Guess what? We got video. We've got audio. Who's doing the web? Who's posting while we're... is Coop
yeah,
doing it?
Yeah, Coop, yeah.
All right, Coop, we got to get this thing up there. Listen to this. This is the audio from the video as it was videoed. This woman just freaking out. She walks in. She's not wearing a mask.
No shirt, no shoes. Stand up. Stand up. No mask, no service. Get your ass out.
There's no reason why I shouldn't be able to shop without a mask on.
Haven't you heard about the virus?
Your masks don't work. This has been going on for almost a year now. If they work so well, why are people still getting sick?
I wonder, stupid.
Can you answer that question?
Yeah, I can, because they don't wear their mask. They don't wear their mask.
Oh, really? Is that what it is? Because one person won't wear a mask.
Goodbye.
That's why the virus is still going on after a year.
You're a dumbass.
That's in Costco in Eureka, California. So then the lady grabs a cell phone out of an employee's hand, and the cops are called. They take her away.
She's arrested.
Oh, God.
Do you hear the lady say she's getting arrested? And then they start laughing.
She's arrested.
Maniacal.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Fester.
So is the lady laughing? Is she a Costco employee?
I think it's a customer.
Okay, because if she was an employee, instantly employee of the year right there. Good for her.
I think it's a customer that's saying that.
Okay. No shirt, no shoes, stand no up, stand up.
By the way, that's a customer as well, saying no shirt, no shoes, no mask, no service.
No shirt, no shoes,
I love this.
Stand up. No mask, no service. Get your ass out.
No way.
I shouldn't be able to shop without a mask on.
Haven't you heard about the virus?
Your masks don't work. This has been going on for almost a year now. If they work so well, why are people still getting sick?
I wonder, stupid.
Can you answer that question?
Yeah, I can, because they don't wear their mask. They don't wear their mask.
Oh, really? Is that what it is? Because one person won't wear a mask.
Goodbye.
That's why the virus is going on after a year.
You're a dumbass.
Love her.
All right.
I love the customers like arguing with the woman. She's got to be careful and make sure that, you know, you don't have some psycho that's going to pull out a gun or a knife and stab you or shoot you.
If you want to have a couple of minutes of fun this holiday weekend, type in Costco Karen into Google and a bunch of stories. Oh. All the stories from the summer come up.
Tons of them. Absolutely. And then the Massachusetts guy spit on hikers for not wearing masks, and then he says, I've got COVID.
Oh, no.
What? People are going freaking nuts. And this was caught on video as well. In Massachusetts, cops are looking for a man, they say, spat at two women hikers who weren't wearing face masks and then told them that he had COVID-19. The guy approached the women as they hiked along the Hudson Overlook in the Mid-State Trail in Ashburnham. On November 15th, he was caught on video spitting at the women, who then were also videoing the encounter. I have COVID, the man can be heard saying. Oh. I've tested positive. Then the man spits at the women a second time. My God, police have not released the identities of the man or the hikers, but this is insane.
People are going nuts.
Yeah, the man told the hikers it's the law to wear masks and that they were irresponsible for not doing so. And then spits on them and says, I've got COVID? Yeah, police provided a minute-long video to CNN. The audio's not great. I don't care. I'm not going to wear a mask when I'm outside. One of the women replies, "That's not the law. That's not the law," says the man. Yeah, the cop said that the man could face an assault charge and a charge of a false threat of a biological agent.
I mean, if you spit on somebody and then you say you have a disease, that sounds right.
God. Again, folks, people are going nuts. These COVID clowns, these COVID kooks, these masked morons. And then there's the obscure group from the 1980s, folks. Maybe 90s. Oh, you got to hear this next. Hang on. Should I give you a hint?
Please.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
It's the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. It is 8:12. And Fester's favorite story of the day might be the alligator guy down in, what, Fort Myers?
I thought it was really cool for a couple of reasons.
Yeah, hang on. We'll get to that in a second. Let me just finish. Oh, I got to do the song of the day here. Hold on a minute. Running a little late on this. The Trip a Day song to win a getaway to the Palm Beach Marriott on Singer Island. Wow. Celebration, cooling the guests. Singer Island's nice. You ever been over to Singer Island?
I have not.
My parents live right nearby. My parents live on the other side of the state. So the Trip a Day song to get this getaway to Palm Beach Marriott, Singer Island. Celebration, Cool and the Gang. Mason's going to play it sometime in the 6 o'clock hour, between 6 and 7. When you hear it, be the 7th caller to win right here at Q105. We'll give you the song again later on in case you missed it. So stand by. All right, first of all, speaking of the COVID kooks, the mask morons, this is unbelievable. Guess who are, well, they're stirring up some controversy because they've gone to some of the anti-lockdown protesters or protests. So I mentioned, when I was teasing it, what did you glean? I said 80s, 90s.
You said the obscure 80s or 90s group.
Was this like 1989 or was this like 1990? This particular song. Sound familiar, folks?
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave.
Remember these guys?
Right Said Fred?
Right Said Fred. These guys go to anti-lockdown protests, apparently, in London. And they're getting a whole bunch of backlash. They're being called, like, anti-maskers. Where are they now?
I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt.
Mask. I like that. I'm too sexy.
Just put a mask.
Can you sing that for me? Go ahead, sing it.
Mask. Sexy for my mask. Look at Japan.
Do they wear mesh shirts while they protest?
I mean, seriously, these guys have always been kind of rebellious on their clothing.
I'm too sexy for my mask. Yeah, Richard and Fred Fairbrass.
Richard and Fred? Dick and Fred are their names?
Well, it is Right Said Fred. So clearly there's a Fred in the group. They went to some big anti-lockdown protest at Trafalgar Square in September in London. And I guess they're getting a whole bunch of crap for it. They just did an interview. And they say that they're not COVID deniers, but they're anti-lockdown. I think they're also anti-vaxxers, too.
Okay.
Right Said Fred.
Yeah, it came out in the summer of 1991.
Oh, was it 91?
Big summer for them.
Yeah, Right Said Fred.
For my car, too sexy for my
mask.
Too sexy by far. And I'm too sexy.
Sounds like Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, he does.
A little bit, yeah.
Remember, wasn't there a parody song with Elmer Fudd doing this? Hello.
I'm a model. You know what I mean, and I do my little turn on the
catwalk. I love this song.
Without a mask.
On the this song's good.
So these guys are guys are making noise, but not on the music scene any longer, I guess. All right, Fester's favorite story. Hold on to this thought. This Fester's absolutely favorite story is coming up. And it's, this guy's got some cojones. This guy, would you do this, Fester?
I mean, it depends.
I would.
I mean, I don't know. It depends on the size of the gator.
All right, folks, hold on to this. You've got to hear this story coming up. A guy, a gator, a dog, Fort Myers, and Fester's favorite part about it is the guy still just smoking a cigar during the whole incident.
The whole damn time.
Jumps into the water to save the dog from the clutches of the alligator's mouth? Hold on to that thought. Get to it next on the MJ Morning Show on the Q.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
It is the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. Hey, Froggy, I got a little bone to pick with you. We'll get to it after the Gator story.
Okay, you can pick my bone any day.
Got a little Froggy bone to pick in just a second. Stand by. Fester's favorite story today is this guy with a big set of brass ones, man, down in Fort Myers, who went into the water and ripped the dog out of the alligator's mouth. That is... that's pretty incredible stuff.
The video's gone viral. We have it up at mjmorningshow.com. This guy's a hero.
You know, I got to think. It's easy for me to sit here and say I would do the same thing. I guess you don't know until...
of course you would.
Hold on.
You rescued somebody from a burning house one time.
Okay.
You're a hero.
Please stop.
And I would... You did rescue somebody from a burning house, didn't you?
No, I went to the burning house to alert them the house was on fire. I didn't.
Oh, you didn't pull out the pregnant wife?
I did not kick in the front door and crawl on the ground doing like a military crawling maneuver under barbed wire to rescue the family from the home in South Tampa. No.
Dude, you saved the bee's life yesterday.
I did. That's true.
So, yes, you probably would have.
I gotta believe I would do the same thing.
Yes.
But I guess you never know until, by the way, do you still remember the South Tampa house fire story?
Of course.
I remember you were interviewed on the news in the rain.
I was.
And your hair was curly.
That's when your hero status began.
Dude, it was no hero thing. There was a house on fire in South Tampa. I was driving through the neighborhood. This smoke billowing out of the house. I saw some flames, and I quickly jumped out of the car, and I started pounding on the door to alert them, and then the neighbors also, that there was a fire. And it's not a hero thing to do. It's just the right thing to do, Froggy.
Here's what would go through your mind. All right, the dog's going to get eaten. If I grab that dog, get some press for the morning show, I'm going to do it right now.
Did you like my bee video?
I did. And did the bee live?
Oh, the bee flew off. No.
Oh, my God.
So there was a bee. Well, dude, with bees and the whole colony collapse and what's going on with bees.
You got to save it.
Yeah, you have to save every bee you can.
We do. We can't let bees die. Bees are totally important. And there was a bee doing the backstroke in my pool yesterday, so I didn't barehand it. I went and grabbed a leaf quickly off a croton, and I scooped him up, and then I put him on our chaise lounge on our pool deck to let him kind of, you know, see if he could cough up all the water. But he was a goner. That bee was going to be totally toast. So I got him out of the pool. I put him on the chaise lounge, and you saw the video I shot?
It was beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful?
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Because he lived.
And I let him just hang out, and then I look, and then he's gone. So he must have expelled all the water.
Or bird ate it. I don't know.
No, seriously.
I shot a little video of that, and it is up on my social media. I think I put it on both. It's on my Twitter, and it's on my Instagram. So if you want to see the bee... And he's like doing all kinds of convulsing. It's like
he was dying.
He was, but
what happened?
He was expelling water on my chaise lounge, and then he was gone. So he must have flown off.
Good for you.
Hopefully he went back to the family because he's going to go pollinate some stuff.
God, you won't believe it. This big creature saved me with curly hair. Crazy. But I'm back.
I'm back.
So you think that sucker's going to sting me if he sees me?
Oh, no. He's going to hug you and kiss you.
Is he going to recognize me?
He's going to protect you from other bees.
All right. So the video's up. If you want to see the bee rescue, it's on my Twitter feed, at Todd Schnitt. And it's on my Instagram feed, at Certified Todd Schnitt. So give me a follow in both places. This Florida dude, man. This Fort Myers guy. Wow. New footage, and you saw how they got the video, right?
Yeah, I had no idea they did this.
There are wildlife cameras that are placed in certain places, and it so happens that the wildlife cam captured the guy rescuing the Cocker Spaniel from the jaws of this alligator. This is brand new footage, just came out. It happened, I think it happened in October, right? Or did it happen this month? Hang on a minute. It happened in October. Happened at the end of October, so not, 3 weeks ago is when it happened.
So this guy had no idea he was even videotaped doing this.
He had no clue at all. He rescues a dog, his dog, a Cocker Spaniel, from the mouth, the jaws of this alligator, and it was captured. The video shows the guy jumping into waist-deep pond water after the alligator dragged the dog underwater. This is something you got to be careful. If you're on a lake, if you're on any kind of water here in Florida, I have heard of many. Usually these stories do not end well. Usually the dog or the animal is lunch or dinner for the gator. This has a happy ending because the dog wasn't seriously injured, just a puncture mark on the dog, but the dog is going to be fine. The dog's going to recover. But I've heard for every one like this, there are 100 where the dog doesn't make it. The gator comes out. Gators can move at 30 miles an hour. They are fast little suckers.
Oh, yeah. You think they're slow coming out of that water? Is there lightning fast?
It is crazy. You got to be careful. If you're on the water and you got a dog, they could be lunch or dinner for a gator in the pond or water in your backyard.
The guy who saved his dog, he says it came out like a missile. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Just that prehistoric thing just sniffed out, saw that dog, and said, I'm hungry, boom. I wants me some Cocker Spaniel for lunch today.
All right, so the guy's 74 years old.
The story's just amazing. So the video shows the guy jumping into the water. As the gator dragged the dog underwater, the guy submerges his whole arm to bring the small dog to the surface. And the alligator still latched onto the dog. Now, this wasn't a 12 or 14-foot gator. It was a smaller gator, but still, this dog was a goner. The dog is yelping in pain. The man is trying to free the dog from the gator's mouth. After 12 seconds, the guy succeeds in freeing his pet, a Cocker Spaniel. Aren't you supposed to slam them in the eyes or punch them in the? You're supposed to pound them in the snout. The gators.
I think that's sharks. You're supposed to punch a shark in the nose.
I don't think a gator likes getting punched in the snout.
Gators.
Either.
You're supposed to headbutt gators.
No, you aren't. Oh. Don't headbutt gators. The dog's name is Gunner. And the man is Richard Wilbank, 74-year-old out of the Estero area.
And he's got a cigar in his mouth.
Well, there you go, Fest.
Here's the thing. Yeah. He extinguished his cigar because he had to stick his whole head under the water. So he's sitting there smoking a cigar, walking his dog. The alligator takes his dog. The old man with cigar still lit in his mouth jumps in the water. Submerges his head, picks up the alligator, extinguishes his cigar, fries the alligator open, dog runs out, wet cigar still in his mouth. The whole time, it was amazing.
It's Arturo Fuente, $12. So
the footage of this whole thing, and it's up on our website. If you want to see this, go to MJMorningShow.com. MJMorningShow.com. The footage is part of a project between the Florida Wildlife Federation and the F-Stop Foundation, called Sharing the Landscape, and it involves residents who live in areas that border wildlife in Lee County. They volunteer to have the cameras placed in their backyards to document the wildlife that live and share the same landscape as they do. Now, the video captured this guy. It so happened that there was a camera in this area, and it captured this guy saving his dog. It's unbelievable.
I don't know that he had the dog on a leash. I think he was walking, letting the dog free walk along the pond.
Oh, yeah.
And I cringe.
Snatched.
Every time I see little puppies walking across a pond, I'm just like, oh, God.
Folks, you got to be careful, man, because these gators will spring out of the water like a SEAL team, man. I'm telling you, they will, and they'll snatch your dog, and in most cases, your dog is gone.
He's lucky it was a little gator.
Yeah. Oh, if it was a big gator, probably would have been a total goner.
My son caught a gator fishing topwater.
What?
We were using a little frog, a little fake lure, and gator hit it. And I tried, the thing was like this, maybe a little bit smaller than the one that I got that dog.
So about 2 feet, 3 feet?
Yeah. And I had to get that thing off the hook, and you won't believe how strong it is. Unbelievable how strong those are.
They took the dog to the vet. and the guy was checked out also, and everything is okay. Everyone's going to recover. So the cigar is great. The puppy's name is Gunner, a three-month-old Cavalier King Charles Spaniel.
Well, those are expensive dogs, too.
Exactly. That would have been an expensive snack for that gator.
Damn.
The dog is fully recovered from a puncture wound. I never thought an alligator could be that fast. It was so quick. The owner told the network, the photography network. He also said that he was fine, but his hands had been hurt, and he received a tetanus shot. Good idea.
That's badass.
Yeah. That's unbelievable. You got to see the video, but again, this is a happy ending. In most cases, your pet is going to be a meal and totally gone in 2 seconds flat. If you're letting your dog walk, even it's happened with dogs on leashes, too. People walking dogs along water here in Florida.
Yeah, they'll snatch that leash right out of your hand.
It will just take that dog and then just snap the leash in half and gone. Have a nice day. And that's what usually happens. You ought to send him a box of cigars, Fester. What do you think?
I'll go down there and smoke them with him. Yeah. I like this guy.
What a story. It's the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. And Froggy, I got a little bone to pick with you.
I'm ready to be picked.
Next on the MJ Morning Show.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
Oh, you're too good, huh, Froggy?
What? I'm not good at anything.
Too good to come to my house for some biscuits yesterday morning.
Oh,
huh?
Is this what this is about?
That's what this is about. Your wife could come. Your adorable little kids could come.
Yeah, everybody went but me.
That but Froggy can't get out of bed to enjoy the amazing biscuits that my wife makes. Welcome back. MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. 8:39 here on a Monday. And, yeah, we're live this week. We're doing shows today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. We'll do Froggy's going to play music on Thursday morning.
Yes.
And then Friday, a best of the MJ Morning Show already. Can you believe we scrounged up enough crap for a best of already?
It's going to be a lot of music on Friday.
No, there's not. There's going to be a normal, but a lot of. So if you haven't heard everything we've done since we've been back, we've got a great best of plan for Friday. So Kim, who's Froggy's wife, and his kids come over to the house yesterday morning because Kim heard me talk about Michelle's buttermilk biscuits.
And they're called biscuit bitch biscuits.
And that's not a euphemism, by the way, but Michelle's biscuits are delicious.
I had one yesterday, and it is, even though it was a couple hours old.
Oh, Kim brought one back for you.
Yeah, she brought me one without anything on it. Plain biscuit.
Because I left. Kim was still in the backyard, socially distanced, with my wife, and I had to go to Home Depot to get some flappers for the toilets. So, true story.
I had a little toilet leak. I get a flapper.
I had to run some errands. I had to go get flappers, and I had to go to Walmart to get stuff.
Next time you need a plumbing part, please call me first.
Why is that?
I'm loaded. I come from a plumbing family, dude. I got flappers out the flapper.
Do you have Toto flappers?
I've got all kinds of flappers, buddy.
I need Toto G-Max. I got 3-inch flapper needs. Can you help me with my flapper? So, Froggy, what the hell were you doing that you couldn't come to my house? So, Kim, Froggy's wife, heard, a couple of weeks ago, we're talking about Michelle, and my wife makes unbelievably delicious buttermilk biscuits. And again, I know folks have asked for the recipe. It's a simple recipe. I think she just modifies a little bit the Southern Living recipe.
Kim got it.
So, yeah, if you go online and you just search, but I'm going to give you a hint here. If you just go online and you search the Southern Living buttermilk biscuit recipe, it'll come up. And Michelle uses frozen Land O'Lakes butter. She doesn't use the large. She uses the frozen Land O'Lakes butter. It's kind of the steam and the butter. I don't know. She's got all. Michelle studied for hours and did all kinds of test batches. But the real key, you got to use white lily flour. Don't, folks, don't even think about making buttermilk biscuits without white lily flour. I'm serious. That is the key. You got to have self-rising white lily flour. It's the winter wheat, folks. You got to have that light. There's a whole. I'm telling you, Michelle, explained this whole thing to me, and So Kim heard me talking about Michelle's biscuits, and I've Instagrammed some photos of the biscuits, and we make egg and cheese biscuits. They're just incredible. So Kim invited herself over, and
excuse me, but Michelle and Kim are friendly.
I know.
And Michelle invited her.
I know.
It's not like me and you are friends. What do you want me to do?
All good points.
You couldn't make it? You send your wife and your kids over to eat our biscuits, and you couldn't come over? Really?
I didn't even want them to go because, you know, the super spreader event you were holding.
The super spreader biscuit event?
Dude. They're on my back pool deck, 27 feet apart. What are you talking, super spreader?
The only thing that got super spread was butter and jam.
You know, exactly. Listen, and you know how seriously I take this whole COVID thing.
I have had a long weekend of recovering from my performance on Friday, from my injured foot.
Oh, that's true. Oh, Froggy injured himself, but not even from the stunt. Froggy was getting all hopped up, and he was jumping up and down right before he was going to sing a song, and he twisted his ankle even before the stunt.
There you go. So, and that means I did a stunt with a broken foot, basically. So, you're welcome for that.
What's the matter with you?
Now, yeah. I will say, Kim had a wonderful time, said my kids had a wonderful time, and that biscuit was the most bitchin' biscuit I've ever had. There's definitely, you can tell a difference.
Yeah, the biscuit's fantastic.
Like, better than any biscuit I've had in a restaurant or anything.
The biscuit is incredible, and
it's very dense and fluffy. And
by the way,
dense and fluffy.
Michelle has named herself the biscuit bitch.
You should market that. There's something there.
I'm telling you, we ought to open up a place, the biscuit bitch.
She should get a chest tattoo.
Yeah. I'm gonna get with my. with my private equity pals, we'll put it together.
It's very franchisable, the biscuit bitch.
The biscuit bitch, I'm telling you. But were they amazing? And you didn't even have it out of the oven.
No, I had it a couple hours old without an egg or cheese. Kim said you guys had eggs and cheese on it.
Yeah, she did not want an egg and cheese. All she wanted was a buttered biscuit.
She doesn't like eggs.
I made, that's what she said. I made for Julian, Michelle, and myself. I then put some egg and melted cheese, some Boar's Head White American on top, and on that biscuit, you're not going to find a better egg and cheese biscuit than my place on a Saturday or a Sunday morning.
And also, I have been working nonstop all week.
Right,
so I wanted to be there. I was there in spirit.
Hey, guys, tell me if this is morbid. Okay. I think this is really a tribute. So Alex Trebek, who I thought was fantastic. I'm a big Alex Trebek fan. I love Jeopardy. And, of course, Alex Trebek passed away of stage 4 pancreatic cancer just recently at the age of 80. Put up a hell of a fight for like 22 months. He outlived most stage 4 pancreatic cancer patients. So, you know, Godspeed, Alex Trebek. So we found out what has happened to Alex in death. Alex was cremated.
Okay.
His wife has the ashes. According to the death certificate, Trebek was cremated. Ashes will remain at the home that he shared with his wife, Jean Caravan, in Los Angeles. And, of course, Trebek died on November 8th. Rest in peace, Alex. Instead of the ashes being at home, what if they put them on the Jeopardy set? Is that morbid?
Oh, my God, that's so morbid.
If you, had a special, area on the set where Alex is, the urn with Alex...
Is this your idea, or is this something that's floating around possible?
No, I thought of this. This is my idea.
Why don't they just freeze his head like Ted Williams and put it up there?
Is this a bad idea?
Put his head in formaldehyde.
No, to actually have a tribute, a memorial on the stage, on the Jeopardy set, and you have Alex, so he's always there. It's his show.
It's terrible. Terrible idea. First of all, put yourself in the shoes of the new host. You got Alex Trebek's dead ashes staring at you every day? Terrible.
I think it could be done tastefully, and it would be a tribute.
This is Jeopardy with Alex Trebek's ashes.
I don't think that's going to stop. I'm serious about this. I think it would be a tribute to have Alex's ashes on the set of Jeopardy.
That's like you kicking the bucket and us keeping your ashes in this studio.
Why don't they just have the ashes?
What's wrong with my idea?
That would be how crazy is it to if you died, Fester says, and then they just keep the name of your show, bring your ashes in here.
Yeah, put it right in the back of the...
And me and Fester.
Yeah, but it'd be here all day.
Tell you what, we could put half here at Q105 and half at FLZ.
There you go.
What do you think?
Maybe just a couple little.
He'd probably use it for kitty litter down the road right about now. But
yeah, Tommy Chuck would bring it to his house and use it as kitty litter. You're right.
I mean, Mason's in here doing the Friday festivities, and there's an urn full of MJ back there?
Yeah, exactly.
I can't picture that.
I wouldn't mind that.
Gino's doing the Saturday night listen, 70s party or whatever.
I think it could be done tastefully to honor Alex. I'm just saying. Just give it some thought. I might approach his wife and make the suggestion.
Isn't there a morning guy that has been dead for like 5 years and still hosts a morning show?
Kid Craddock.
Well, Kid Craddock in Dallas. It's still called the Kid Craddock Show, and he died. And
there we go.
Remember, Fester had a big fight with him in Orlando.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
That's when he beat you in the...
That was crazy. That's
when he called me.
Is that when you called him Crad Dick?
No, he called me an embarrassment to broadcasting. He did.
Seriously, Kid Craddock called Fester an embarrassment to the industry. We were at the Billboard Music Awards. So we're in Orlando at the Billboard Music Awards, and we won some big morning show award, the MJ Morning Show. With MJ and BJ, right?
Was MJ and BJ Morning Show?
MJ and BJ Morning Show.
This is like 1999.
We won some big award, and Fester stripped off his clothes and ran on stage with us. And all he's in his underwear. That's it. And I guess it offended Kid Craddock. And he called Fester an embarrassment.
Hey, you know what you are?
What?
You're an embarrassment to this industry.
Oh, my God.
Fester's too good to do stuff like that anymore.
8:48, it's the MJ Morning Show.
I am.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
It is the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. It's MJ here along with Froggy and Fester. Roxanne has the week off. Well-deserved. We kind of tossed her into the fire here with the MJ Morning Show. She's doing very, very well. But she wanted a little time off because we're just running a ragged. Not kidding. She had this time planned, and she said, do you mind if I take the regularly scheduled vacation? And I immediately snapped back, you can't take vacation now. The show's only a month off. I said, Roxanne, of course you can take vacation. I want to grab a couple of calls here. Because I did some shopping for Michelle, and I noticed that there are numerous items that are gone. We have heard over the last, 3-4 weeks about this, second round of COVID panic buying. It's like, folks, calm down. But there definitely is some COVID panic buying going on. You couple that with Thanksgiving week. And people are running out and doing the normal shopping, so I think it's just added pressure. If you notice something in short supply, if you have seen shelves bare, if you witness panic buying, what are you having trouble finding? What items are in short supply? 800-990-1047. So whatever it is, I mean, it might be some odd stuff as well. What have you noticed is in short supply? You went to one store, gone. Had to go to another store, gone. Maybe you found onesies, twosies. As you go out and do Thanksgiving shopping, or as COVID is heating up again here with our fall wave of this mess, with cases spiking higher than ever, higher than the initial hit we had back in the spring and early summer, what are you having trouble finding on the shelves? Have you witnessed any fights over anything? What's Black Friday going to be like? Are places doing those doorbusters where people are lined up and then rush the door and then trample employees to get a DVD player for $16?
You know, it's funny you said that because we were talking about it yesterday, my wife and I. You know, nobody's going to be barreling into stores. They're going to probably be issuing numbers or tickets or having a very orderly, unlike years past.
Yeah, so Black Friday is going to be different for those, doorbuster deals. Let's grab some calls. 800-990-1047. Join us here on the MJ Morning Show. What are your observations? Sheila's first in St. Pete. Hi, Sheila. Welcome to the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
Thanks for having me. the shortage that I found, paper towels.
Now, where are you shopping? Are you going to the warehouse clubs or just the regular supermarket?
I go to Walmart and Publix.
And when was the last time you looked for paper towels?
It was just the other day.
And
the shelf was empty.
So nothing? Not even like little remnants or small onesies? Nothing?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And I clean a lot with paper towels because I use a lot of alcohol.
You drink a lot of alcohol?
Drunk everywhere?
Sure. Drunk and disorderly. That's me.
So, Sheila, I was at Walmart yesterday picking up some stuff from Michelle, and I noticed also that at least Walmart in South Tampa, that the those steel shelves in the back of the store, which are usually packed, sparse stuff. Sheila, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let's grab Jim is in Tampa. Jim, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi, Jim. What's out of stock?
Hey, good morning. Costco and Brandon, zero toilet paper.
Yeah, we're hearing it. The, for whatever reason, the warehouse clubs are getting whacked as well. We heard the same thing at Sam's, and you're saying Costco brand. I bounce back and forth because, you know, I live in South Tampa, so it's like, hey, Michelle, you want to go to Costco in Brandon, or you want to go to the Costco on, you know, on Gulf to Bay over in Clearwater? But I haven't been since this this new little, you know, phase and wave, and nothing. I mean, usually you go to that the back area there, and it's just loaded with toilet paper and Bounty paper towel. You're saying nothing. Nothing?
There was absolutely nothing, and barely any Kleenex either.
Oh, so facial tissues as well. Holy crap. Yeah. All right, Jim, yeah. Hey, thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show.
No problem. Thanks. Have a good one.
You bet. You too. Let's grab, let's head out to Brandon. Let's grab Camille. Camille, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi, Camille.
Good morning. How are you?
We are well. What are you seeing a shortage of?
Lysol spray. Of course, toilet paper, paper towels, and as the gentleman before me said, napkins and tissues.
Now, did they ever recover, like, for instance, like the Lysol wipes, the Clorox wipes in the canisters, those things just shot off the shelf. You know, even in the beginning of COVID, when we were in Manhattan, you could not go into CVS or Walgreens or Rite Aid or Duane Reade. You could not find regular rubbing alcohol anywhere, like 70% or 90% isopropyl. You couldn't find it. So, Camille, as far as the Lysol products, have you been paying attention? Have those come back into stock and then now they're out again?
The wipes came back for a short time, but the Lysol spray never came back. It's been gone since March.
Ugh. What about food items? Have you noticed any food shortages of anything?
Canned vegetables are a little low, and sometimes the eggs are extremely hard to find.
Really? You know, I was at Sam's Club. I'm sorry, I was at Walmart, rather. I was at Walmart over the weekend, and they were stocked. Like, remember we had a story about 3 weeks ago or so about canned corn being in short supply? And they had so much canned corn, at least at the Walmart on South, on Gandy in South Tampa, they had an end cap with just corn coming out the wazoo. It was the, well, they had Green Giant corn. I think they had Del Monte corn, but they had tons of their Walmart brand. Was it
Great Value?
They had tons of, at 50 cents a can.
You know, when we had that story about the shortage on corn, I didn't see it for like 2 or 3 days, and then it was replenished. So, canned vegetables are just, the shelves just don't seem as full as they were.
Yeah, Camille, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Spread the word that the MJ Morning Show is back. Let me grab one more here. Roseanne is in Bradenton. Roseanne, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi.
Good morning.
Morning, Roseanne.
The shortage we have here in Publix and Target and other places, there are no paper products.
Yeah, that's
absolutely none. And any cleaning supply you would want, such as cleaning floors, Fabuloso, any of those things, gone. I mean, gone.
Yeah, that's you. Hey, hold on. Roseanne, do you mean gone?
I mean gone.
You mean gone.
Gone.
Gone. Yeah, that's the theme here. Roseanne, thank you, Roseanne. We appreciate the call.
But you're gone, yeah, Roseanne.
No, don't
be me, in a nice way. In a nice way.
Hey, Roseanne, thanks for calling. Have a great day. But as Fester is
you
saying,
too.
You are now
gone.
Goodbye.
See you, Roseanne. Thanks.
No, that's the theme. Hang on a minute. Here's David in Clearwater. Let me grab one more. Hey, David, you're on the MJ Morning Show, Q105. Hi.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, David.
You guys are great. I listen to you every morning. You guys are really great, I'll tell you.
Thank you. Hey, David, did you listen to the old MJ Morning Show when we were on the air from 94 until 2012?
No, I was on the road when you were doing that. So I missed all that. So all the stuff that you bring back,
yep.
I just said, the old crotchety man this morning, I rolled on the floor in here on that.
Well, if you like the classic crotchety old man with the Butterball Turkey Hotline, if you like that, I got 150 more of those things. And that's not even a really good one. That's just a topical one for Thanksgiving, to be quite honest. Yeah, David, keep listening. You're going to love this show, and I appreciate the nice words. So you're having trouble finding canned corn?
No.
Oh, you found it.
In Dunedin, they had a surplus of canned corn.
Yeah, so for whatever reason, there was a shortage, and then now there's a glut. Like I said, they had canned corn coming out the wazoo at the Walmart on Gandhi at 50 cents a can for the Walmart brand.
Well, this was 2-for-1, and they were on sale, and they had them all over the store. And I'm thinking, what the hell?
That's great. Hey, thank you, Dave. Appreciate the call. Keep listening. The best is yet to come. The MJ Morning Show, it's Q105, and we are back in moments.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
Mystery solved. How did that Rockefeller Center Christmas tree get so mangled beyond belief? The owl confessed. The owl was chopping off branches and throwing it on the New York State Thruway as they were driving it down to Manhattan.
No, really, what happened?
Yeah, the owl. The owl, that was his tree. They chopped the tree down with the owl in it, and the owl was interviewed on Fox 5 in New York over the weekend, and the owl, who they're about to release into the wild, fessed up to completely destroy the tree. They said, you took my Norway spruce out of Oneonta, New York, where I lived? I'm going to F this tree up.
They asked the owl, did you do this? And he said, who else would?
Who else would have?
Who do you think did it?
Hey, Michelle's in love with that owl. You know, we had the story last week. First of all, the tree is a mangled disaster. I mean, I don't know what the hell happened. Like I said, it was like the tractor trailer, the flatbed taking that tree down in Manhattan was in a rollover accident at a fire. That tree is a mangled mess. And then on top of it, they discover this adorable little owl. Aren't they mean? Can owls, like, peck your eyeballs out?
Oh, they'll rip your face off.
I think they're very strong. They have a really strong beak.
Yeah, they've got really good eyesight, too. So, could he see them coming? Why could that owl see them coming? They're chopping down his tree. Why didn't he get the hell out of there? So, the owl was in the tree that they cut down up in upstate New York, and he stayed in the tree the whole transportation. He stayed in it. And I think it's a logical conclusion that he's the one that really screwed up that tree and just started chopping branches off and throwing it on the road on the way down. That's why it was a mangled mess when it got to Manhattan.
Well, last week we had the footage of them adding extra branches to beef it up.
Yeah. Is that ridiculous? Yeah. They were gluing branches on? Let's drill some holes and put some branches on. We found them at the Bear Mountain State Park up the way there.
It can't be any worse. They have to do something.
The tree is just awful looking. But the reason why I'm bringing this up, all kidding aside, the owl did not do a Fox 5 interview in New York confessing to wrecking the tree.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. I know that's a big disappointment to you.
Yeah.
The reason why I'm bringing it up is the owl is about to be released into the wild.
Aww. Oh, good.
Yep, the little tiny owl who hitched a ride down to Manhattan in the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree will be released into the wild, according to the Ravensbeard Wildlife Center. They announced on Saturday the owl has been named Rockefeller.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, God.
You know, I wanted to ask the owl, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
I can answer that for you.
I've been trying to think of a joke having to do with a Tootsie Roll for the last 5 minutes.
Well, there you go.
A one, a two, a three.
that's nice, though, that they're going to release the owl until... Well, why don't they take... What if he has a family up there? Why don't they take him back up to... Don't release him in wherever. Take him back up to Oneonta.
For real? He has a whole owl family there. Whatever they're called, the school.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
A flock.
All right, guys, it is very, very rare that I make obscure references.
What? Oh, no, that's not true at all.
Wait, what?
You're the king of obscure references. What are you talking about?
Hey.
Yeah, what?
Hey, Frog, at my house yesterday, did your wife and kids, did they mention that my dogs barked at every single airplane that went by?
Yeah, they did mention that. They said it was kind of odd.
My dogs are barking at airplanes. Now, does that mean anything, barking at airplanes?
Maybe they're crazy?
No, maybe it's like sort of a sign.
Actually, crazy is a good word there, actually. But you never heard of barking at airplanes?
No.
I've heard of howling at the moon.
Howling at the moon, yeah. Never barking at airplanes.
Barking at airplanes, or barking at the moon, right? Howling at the
barking
moon.
Barking at the moon, yeah. Okay.
Well, this also gives me a chance to play a very, very obscure 1980s song. You never heard of... my dogs, when Tampa International... When they let the jets land on one right, they kind of come over Beach Park in South Tampa. And my dogs, they've never seen airplanes before. So, well, we moved back here. The dogs are barking at they look up and they're literally barking at airplanes. And folks, Froggy Fester, do you know what that was? That was the name of the album that Kim Carnes put out like in 1985 or 86.
I couldn't tell you the first thing about Kim Carnes.
You never heard of Kim Carnes' barking at airplanes?
No. I don't think I have.
Have you ever heard this song? This is called Crazy in the Night. Tell me if you've ever heard this song, Froggy.
I really think I'm going crazy in the night when I hide down in the covers and I won't turn out.
You ever hear this?
Is she on the toilet while she's singing this?
Hang on, listen.
Can I do to keep from going crazy in the night?
Have you ever heard this song?
No.
You never heard it? Fester, how about you?
I don't think so.
Quite frankly, I never want to hear it again.
You never heard this? This is called Crazy in the Night from Kim Carnes.
She sounds like she needs a lozenge.
Oh, you never heard Betty Davis Eyes?
I heard Betty Davis
Come
Eyes.
Come on,
yeah.
That's her trademark, you bozo. Yeah, come
don't
on.
You get it.
Oh my God.
This song was played by Q105, I'm sure, back in 1985.
This song?
You never heard that?
I don't think I would have let that go on the album.
I like that song. Even Michelle, when I said to Michelle, hey, the dogs are barking at airplanes. By the way, Barking at Airplanes was a Kim Carnes album, which had the single Crazy in the Night on it.
Ugh.
And she said, wow, that's an interesting fact. Thank you so much.
No, she didn't.
Thank you, honey.
She said, shut up. Who cares?
I'm so sick of your DJ facts.
She told me to shut the hell up, actually. We got Hollywood Dirt coming up. Morons in the news coming up. A ton of loose ends. Oh, Fester. I've got an Oreo story you're going to love.
All right, let me take my pants off.
Oh, baby. It's the MJ Morning Show, Q105. Back in a moment. Don't move.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Got the Bucks and Tom Brady in the national spotlight again tonight. What is kickoff time, Fester? 8:15 or so?
Yeah, about 8:15 on ESPN.
All right, so Monday Night Football, it is the Bucks and the LA Rams. Man, St. Louis is still all pissed, aren't they?
As they should be.
Talk of St. Louis getting a team again?
No. No. No team. No team talk for St. Louis.
What's the line on the game tonight, Dino?
Bucks are favored by 4.
Is that it?
To win the game? Yeah. I checked with my bookie right before the show started this morning.
Fester the Greek.
Are you still doing that?
No, not as much.
You still placing bets with your bookie?
Yeah. One time, I remember a long time ago, Fester took me to lunch and his bookie showed up.
Yeah.
God. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
It was awesome.
That was pretty good.
Speaking of Fester, when I say Oreos, Fester's, his head just jerks like a dog that hears a noise, you know?
I can literally write a college thesis on Oreo cookies.
Are Oreo sales flagging? Are Oreo sales down? Because, you know, they did that stunt where they were putting the Oreo recipe in like an apocalyptic proof safe up in the... Weren't they putting the Oreo recipe like in a bunker near the seed bunker up in the Arctic somewhere, like in Norway or something, right?
If I could save five things from this civilization we currently live in for the next civilization, it would be the Oreo recipe.
All right, here's the deal. Oreos is allowing you to customize an Oreo and even put your face on it. You'll be able to add graphics to an Oreo cookie. Now, I was thinking, do they have standards? Like, what if I don't want my face on the cookie? What if Fester doesn't want his face on the cookie? Let's say Fester wants to drop trowel and put, like, big old moon. He wants to just show his butt on the cookie. Will Oreo print that?
It would have to be a double stuff. If it's going to have my butt on it.
That's the edible technology, like where you can get stuff put on cakes. Like, you can go to Publix, right, and get an image put on a birthday cake and all that, right?
A while back, M&M's also had it to where you could screen print or somehow put a little image on an M&M.
Put your face on an M&M?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's called Oreoid. O-R-E-O-I-D. Oreoid is this new customization or bespoke Oreos.
Well, think about it. Moving forward, you know, your kid has a birthday party. You can have the Oreos customized.
Yeah. Say hello to Oreoid, the first ever custom Oreo cookie experience. They announced this in a tweet. Go to their website if you're curious. You get to also customize special, like, cookie and cream flavor pairings. They've got red cream. I've seen the red ones for, what, Valentine's Day? They've got orange. I've seen those for Halloween. Yellow, green, blue, purple, pink, white, which is obviously the original. And it doesn't seem that expensive. You can get a customized Oreo experience. Prices start at $2.50?
Per cookie? What?
No, no. Price starts with a minimum order requirement of 20. All right. It's $2.50 a cookie.
That's a lot of money.
Oh, my goodness. So I think it's $2.50 a cookie. Well, hey, you know the clothing brand Supreme?
Yes.
Which is, I think, supremely overpriced.
Didn't they just get bought or something?
I think they might have been.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Saw them in the news in the last couple days.
I saw some business
by Z Cavaricci.
Ridiculous. like a Supreme baseball cap. And it's like $180. It's just some ridiculous number for the Supreme stuff. So Oreo did some kind of deal with Supreme. And I think Oreos were $800 a cookie.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm kidding. It wasn't that good. High. But I think it'd be funny, Fester. Why don't you, seriously, why don't you see if they have any standards at Oreo?
Put your wiener on a bunch of them.
I was thinking, you know.
Maybe you could put those on the mini Oreos.
I was thinking about I was thinking about a buttocks shot.
I
was thinking about dropping trowel and mooning. Would Oreo print, big ass on the Oreo cookie?
Probably would.
I'd eat it, so I'd be eating my own butt.
See what the standards are. They probably have a whole section on what we will print and what we won't print.
Oh, you put one cheek on the top and then the other cheek on the bottom and the cream is in the middle of your butt.
Oh, my God. Are you ready for some morons in the news?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Froggy. All right. Morons in the news. When people buy a house in a neighborhood and the backyard is the Florida Turnpike.
Ooh.
Why the hell are they complaining about traffic noise?
I never understood that. We take like the Veterans Expressway and there's neighborhoods right there.
But hold on a minute. But a lot of those, weren't some of those houses, are those, oh, that's
all new communities.
New construction. Okay.
Bringing up by this thoroughfare.
Yeah, I would not want a major thoroughfare or highway behind my place. But there's a big story. I guess this is up near the Villages. The Villages. So this developer is saying, folks, it's not like this Florida Turnpike just showed up. You bought your homes in my development knowing that the Florida Turnpike is the backyard.
Yeah.
This is a story, folks, about the Village of Monarch Grove.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah, some of the residents have grown weary of the constant noise from the Florida Turnpike, which is essentially in their backyards. This is according to the Villages News, by the way, which is one of my favorite bookmark websites, the Villages News. That's where they report the weekly sexually transmitted disease totals out of the Villages.
Well, you have a new colostomy bag giveaway at the Kiwanis Club.
Connie got gonorrhea last week.
Oh, poor Connie.
I knew it. Connie's so...
She was on the seventh hole of the golf course. of a golf course. But she got the news from her doctor.
Gotta love Connie.
Villager Harold Meyer in July took his complaint about noise from the Florida Turnpike before the project-wide advisory committee. He said the noise at his home at 5752 Hickey Way, lots of hickeys going out there in the Villages too, has become unbearable. He said, you know what? You got to move this turnpike. Shut this turnpike down.
Every time I drive by a development that's right off of a busy interstate or a thoroughfare, I think that house is never quiet.
Hey, Fester, why the hell are these people complaining?
You knew this when you bought it.
The houses are new. The developer built these houses with the turnpike as the backyard. The guy started a petition. Complaining about the noise. What, dude, you bought a house with the Florida Turnpike in your backyard, like 50 yards away.
There's his garage, and there's a semi-truck whizzing by.
Yeah, it looks like it's a fuel truck.
Yeah.
A big tanker truck whizzing on by.
But that thing rumbles the ground. It makes all kinds of noise. God. It's 24 hours a day.
I mean, this has got to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Yeah, they didn't tell us about the noise. Dude, if you've got literally the turnpike is 50 feet or 75 feet past your backyard.
I mean, granted, this developer could have customized his sales plan toward the hard of hearing elderly population in the villages.
Yeah, exactly. Go to Belltown and get the list over there and sell houses to those folks.
Right? I don't hear anything.
Oh, is this beautiful? What is that, velvet?
Guys, you got to love this story. Oregon man sues alleging he went to a doctor for distress over marital problems. And then found out that the physician was having an affair with his wife.
Oh,
that's a good way to get the inside track on a couple of ladies.
Yeah, from Oregon Live, a Bend, Oregon man was experiencing depression as a result of his failing marriage, so he went to his family physician, who counseled him on ways to improve his marriage and prescribed him marijuana and CBD.
That's how to do it.
The patient now claims in a lawsuit that all along the doctor, Ronald Rosen, oh, it's Dr. Rosen. Dr. Rosen was having an affair with his wife. In a complaint filed Monday in Deschutes County, am I pronouncing that properly up in Oregon? Local musician and financial advisor Pearson Tone seeks $2.9 million from Dr. Rosen for professional negligence. As a result of Rosen's conduct, plaintiff sustained emotional distress, including the loss of his marriage and emotional and social destruction of his family, according to the lawsuit. From 2015 to 2018, Tone, his wife and two children received medical care at Dr. Rosen's clinic. Open Path Integrative Medicine, according to the suit. At some point, the suit says that Dr. Rosenpenis, began a relationship with Tone's wife.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my God. So he's going to the doctor for help and guidance on his failing marriage. Meanwhile, the doctor's doing the wife?
Listen, I think you and the missus, I don't think it's going to work out. You might want to end it.
You should probably move on and never call her again.
Oh, my God. All right, hold on to that thought. I've got some more morons in the news I want to get to, including, why is there a swingers party with all kinds of sex rampant in the middle of a COVID virus?
They didn't give a swab test at the door?
In New York, no less. All right, hold on to that thought. So a few more morons in the news items, then some Hollywood dirt on the way on the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. Back in a second. Hang on.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
It's the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. It is 9:39 on a Monday. Froggy Fester here along with me, MJ. Roxanne, the week off for her. Good for her. She had a little time off. We'll probably maybe call her tomorrow to see what's going on. She wasn't going. She's just hanging out. You know, I think she's taking the advice of the CDC and not traveling. You know, some folks said, hey, MJ, your son flew in, your daughter's coming in, the CDC said don't travel. What am I supposed to do? The kids' schools are closing down. Okay. Hey, Julian, 16 years old, his boarding school is shut down from now until mid-January. Just kind of squat. Just, you know, go pitch a tent in the woods up in the middle of Connecticut. The kids have to come home.
He'd be fine.
Yeah.
He's a pretty resourceful young man.
Yeah.
But what do they expect to have you do? And that's the same dilemma that hundreds of thousands of families are in.
Yeah. And listen, if you can avoid superfluous travel during the holidays due to the CDC suggestion, I think it's a good idea. But, I mean, the kids, my daughter's coming home today. My daughter's flying in from New England today. She's got to come home. Her school is shutting down. Dorms are shutting down. She's got to leave. And she doesn't get to come back to school until, or go back to school until the end of January. So my kids have to come home. And, you know, I've given them the guidelines. It's like you wear your N95. You put your ASTM level 1 surgical mask on top of your N95. I want you to PDI, sani wipe the whole damn seat area. Don't take your mask off. Don't get a drink. Don't go to the bathroom during the flight. And I think Julian's flight was, this is interesting, Julian's flight, he was on JetBlue out of Bradley up in Connecticut, Bradley International. His JetBlue flight was about 50% full, and the middle seats were all blocked on JetBlue.
Did he have somebody sitting in the other seat?
Yeah, so Julian had the aisle, and then there was somebody in the window seat. And Chloe flies out today. Chloe's on United Airlines. And she got, oh man, you got to, let me see if I can get Chloe on the phone. She leaves later on.
But she's flying into Tampa tonight. Is she just, where is she flying out of? New York?
Hang on a sec, I screwed up this up. She's flying out of Newark, okay. Actually, yeah.
Yeah, but no, listen, you know, with these flights, what do they expect you to do? Your kids are somewhere else, you know, if you have a single elderly relative, you're not supposed to see them.
But Chloe got like a note from United. Like, the plane is packed. I'm like, oh, jeez. Hey, Chloe?
Hi.
Hey, Chloe, it's Dad Live. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right, you're in the hotel, right?
Yes.
All right, your flight is later on. And I was just telling the guys here that Julian's flight, he was on JetBlue Friday down to Tampa, and Julian's flight was half full. What did the notice say that you got from United? What did it say?
It says something like, notice, your flight is fairly full. And then I think they gave me an option to look for other flights.
Oh, jeez. Really?
God, what a pain.
How passive-aggressive is that? It's fairly full. So.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, I hope you're not crammed into like a Airbus 320 or a 737 with, you know, jammed up with every seat is filled. You know what? If they're sending out a note that your flight is fairly full, I bet you every seat is jammed on that flight.
Oh, God.
Yeah. All right. But you've got your N95 and you've got your surgical, right?
Yep.
All right. You're going to double bag it, right?
Yep.
All right. And what I say about using the bathroom in flight?
No bathroom.
What else did I say?
I have to wipe down everything.
Damn right. I want you to wipe down the flight attendant also.
Whoa. Right. Wipe down the person sitting next to you. Excuse me, sir. I just have to rub this all against your neck.
All right, sweetie. I can't wait to see you, but you realize we're not going to hug. And Mom's got the downstairs guest room. That's going to be your quarantine room for a little bit, okay?
Does this mean you don't love me?
Bruh. What's that about?
Yeah, bruh.
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 All right, Chloe. I'll see you later tonight, okay, sweetie?
All right, love you.
I love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Right. Later, bro.
All right, bye.
Oh, Chloe, did you figure out your baggage issue?
She gone.
You know, I tried to work that out.
So Chloe tells, she calls us up, hey, guys, I think my duffel that I'm checking is a little heavy. I'm like, Chloe, didn't you learn anything from us? First of all, we carry on our bags everywhere, but it's understood that Chloe's coming home for 2 months from college, so she's going to have a little more to bring with her. Guess how much her checked-in, her duffel weighed. She's staying at a hotel.
100 pounds.
And they have a scale for luggage. And guess how much her bag weighed?
Her carry-on or her checked bag?
Her checked bag.
I can't weigh over, what, 50?
Yeah, you can't be over $50 or they whack you with all kinds of fees.
What was it, like $68? Or 68 pounds?
89 pounds.
Damn it, that was my guess.
Was it really?
No.
Chloe, you're better off buying another piece of luggage and paying the extra fee to check a second piece.
Exactly, because they're going to whack you. You got to put that in a sec. She's got a friend that actually, I think, did a friend gave you a duffel?
My boyfriend gave me a duffel.
You have a Hold on, whoa. You have a boyfriend? When did this happen?
What?
You don't know.
What's that? This guy's name? Biff. Give me his phone number. All right, so he gave you a duffel, and did you even it out now?
Yeah, I tried. I tried to distribute the weight. I put all of my shoes in my wheelie on suitcase.
How many freaking shoes do you have?
Dad, I have so many shoes.
Chloe, I got to run. I got to do a couple other stories here, but I'll see you tonight, okay? Are you going to be under 50 pounds on your checked luggage now?
It's hard to say.
Well, also, you know, you do have a United credit card. She has a United card with Michelle. So I think you get a free checked bag or something.
Yeah, but it can't be like an 85-pound
bag. Chloe,
yeah.
here's a little traveler's tip, okay? When they're weighing your bag, they put it down by your foot. Okay, just get your foot and lift your bag up a little bit. When they're weighing it, it'll take like 10 pounds off the bag.
You do what Christopher did in The Sopranos at the meat market.
Yeah.
Did he put something underneath?
He put the matchbook.
He put the matchbook under the scale. So it wouldn't weigh as much. He got like 3 pounds of gabagool.
That was just only 38 cents.
he got 3 pounds of gabagool. He only got charged for a quarter pound.
There you go.
The gabagool.
A little tip for you.
The gabagool. All right, Chloe, I'll see you later on, sweetie.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
Are we not going to talk more about this mysterious boyfriend that just sprung up on the show?
Yeah, I knew about it.
Oh, yeah, what's his name? What's his first name?
Fred or something. I don't know. All right, Chloe, I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Fred.
You see this?
Ugh.
Underground swingers club busted in Astoria, Queens, New York. The cops show up in New York, like 80 folks inside. They walk in like three couples are having sex in the wide open in this thing.
Ugh.
So this clearly violated the new 10-person or less rule.
Were they wearing masks?
80 people.
Oh, my God.
And no masks and a whole lot of sex going on. They got beds set up. This is a swingers club called Caligula in Astoria, Queens, New York.
So gross.
Yeah,
man.
You guys might be shut down for now. We'll see. Oh, and local item, what about this Lakeland High School teacher arrested on 408 counts?
This is such a creepy story.
Of kiddie porn? What?
Teacher? Coach? Youth pastor? Oh. I mean, this guy is a trifecta of creeps.
Yeah, Polk County deputies arrested Sean Fitzgerald, 46, teacher, varsity soccer, everything you just said. 408 counts of child pornography. The Polk County Sheriff's Office says it received a report from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children that the Kik Messenger app was used to upload a video depicting child pornography on February 20th, earlier this year. 20-second video showed a young female approximately 10 to 12 years old performing... I can't even say this.
Oh, my God. What are you doing?
Oh, my God. This guy. What is... Oh, this guy's in a whole lot of trouble.
Kids, he's not going to be back in class after Thanksgiving break.
Yeah, detectives say a forensic examination on the cell phone led to them finding 408 images of child pornography of both boys and girls.
Kill him.
We saw horrific acts, according to Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd. Hey, get Grady's new cell phone.
Okay.
Because the one I had for him doesn't work anymore. So we can get Grady on the show from time to time. Grady's good for an appearance probably once a week. I'm serious.
He could be, yeah.
Yeah. That's a creepy, creepy story. What else before we get out of here? Oh, I said some Hollywood dirt. Quickly, Ricky Schroeder, that was the Silver Spoons kid. And the MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell, they helped to spring the Rittenhouse, the shooter in Kenosha, Wisconsin. They helped him post his $2 million bail.
See, I thought the pillow guy just gave him some pillows for his cell. Yeah. I didn't know he actually gave him money.
I think we're done. I think that's about it. All right. Anything else, guys, before we go?
No, that's it, man.
All right, busy, busy, loaded Monday show. We'll see you back here tomorrow and then Wednesday. So, hey, we're working. We're not lazing off here. We're cool. We're working. Folks, have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Website is loaded, mjmorningshow.com. That's mjmorningshow.com. You want to drop me an email, mj@mjmorningshow.com. Fester, Froggy, Roxanne, all at MJMorningShow.com. Have a great day, folks. See you back here tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.